Everybody ready? Okay. Simon Shinayin Gimel. Eiza Kohen Mozer Alatomo Lo Eiza Mesa Metame Viad Mosa Metame Kishem Sha Kohen Mozer Shlo Tamos Kach Was Harma Gedolim Al Haktanim. Right, this is a drasha. It says, we read this not so long ago, Leinei, and more, Lekohanim B'nei Aron, V'yamart Alehem, clear redundancy. The redundancy is Lahazir Gedolim Al Haktanim. What exactly does it mean, Lahazir Gedolim Al Haktanim? So our Ma explains, the Pashuk Shat, V'dakla Tamosu B'yadayim, Al Haktanim, V'tamei Atzman, Ayin Bor Chaim Shem and Shem Mem Gimel, Yitzorech Le HaFrishan, etc., etc. V'tur B'shem Aram, Kazan Khan, Dein Tzorech. Okay, so he says, Lahazar Gedolim Haktanim means Latamosam B'yadayim. The Iker Isser, the Araisa, we paskin is Latamosam B'yadayim. You're not allowed to take a coin. Obviously, you're not allowed to take a coin Gadol. I don't mean coin Gadol. A 13-year-old coin and bring him into an Olam Eis. You're not even allowed to take a 10-year-old or even a 2-year-old, even a 1-day-old coin. Remember, we discussed what about a Kohen fetus. But you're certainly not allowed to take even a 1-day-old Kohen in a baby carriage and bring him into an Ohel Hames or a cemetery, etc. That is an Isser D'Oraisa. We are very, very, very strict about it. What if this, whoever B'Yadayim brings the little baby Kohen there, violates an Isser D'Oraisa of Lahazir? What? Even Israel. Even Israel. No one's allowed to take a baby Kohen to a funeral. I mean, the funeral and stand outside, but I'm saying to a makom tov. That is 100% clear. What about if the kid does by himself? Obviously, not a 1-day-old in the stroller. But what if the little Kohen does it by himself? So he says, look, in Simon Shin Mem Gimel, there's a big machlok Rishonim, which we can't get into now, and it's mostly really there in Or Chaim Shin Mem Gimel. Whether we din chinuch bez de mitzuvin lahafrisho or not, and the Rambam's opinion here, and the Mechaber's opinion. In Shin Mem Gimel, is that the father has to be mafresh any kid shegila chinuch from doing averos because of chinuch. But bezdin, meaning the rest strangers, do not have to worry about it. However, there is another opinion. There's another opinion quoted here in the Torah. And there's another opinion quoted there. There's another opinion in Simon Shin Mem Gimel of Orachayim that, no. Really, we paskin, everyone is chayav lafrisha when the kid is higia l'chinuch. So this is a big nafkamina. If a 2-year-old Kohen runs into a cemetery, then is he too little for chayav? He's too little for chinuch. No one has to yell at him and kick him out of the cemetery. But what if you have a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old Kohen who goes into a funeral home or cemetery, etc.? So, again, according to probably most Rishonim, the father has to be Mechanech and Nachi, but other people, it's not our problem. However, there is a day or brought there and here that is more Machmir, that everyone has to be Mechanech, and the Mishnah Brura in Shimon and Gimel is Taka Machmir. Not Dafka by Kohanim, but Kol Torah Kula. That if there's an Issa Doraisa, at least, for Doraisa, he's Machmir, everyone should be Mechanech Tanim. And therefore, if you see a Kohen Katan going to a cemetery or etc., if you're the father, hush your chayif mechanichim and tell him not to. Even if you're a stranger, we're machmir that you should try to be mechanichim and tell him not to. Obviously, you know, if you can, you don't run the world, but if you can, then you should. Especially since the Bachir has a svara that maybe dafka by Tovas Kohen, and there's more of a chiyuv on everyone else because of the pasuk. Even though that's not mainstream, Lemaisa, let's just chazer, no one's allowed to be Matame B'Yadayim, that's an issue to raise, no matter who you are. As far as being Mechanich, the kid is Gil L'chinuch, do you have to proactively teach him not to, and tell him to go out? The father's for sure Chayev, everyone else is Machlokes, and the Mishnah Berurah is Machmir, that you should be Machmir, and try to be Mechanich him not to.
The first thing, being Matame B'Yadayim, is that issue doesn't apply to any other district.
That does apply by other Yisur. We paskin applies by all Yisur. This is just an example. For example, you're not allowed to give treif food via dying to a kata. And pashas, at least by treif food, d'oraisa, could be by everything, zachshasha d'oraisa. You're not allowed to give chilul Shabbos to a kata and via dying. We're mocked by everything. Via dying, you're never allowed to make a kata and give a kata not bigger to do.
So the Bach now is saying Tomas Kohanim is not different.
Right. We paskin, the Bach wants to say Tomas Kohanim is different, but we don't really pass it that way. I just mentioned it. It's the back right here if you want to look it up. Okay. The fascinating issue comes up in this Pesach Tshuva Sivkat and Chaf Aleph. Quoting the Tshuva for Shav HaKohen, who says, this is obviously talking about a non-relative. A relative? Of course the Kohen's allowed to go to the funeral. So, now here's what's funny. A 13-year-old or 30-year-old or 70-year-old Kohen's allowed to go to his relative's funeral. How about a 12-year-old Kohen? You'd think he'd be no more chamer than an adult. But the Shav HaKohen says something very paradoxical. The 12-year-old Kohen is more chamer than the 70-year-old Kohen and is not allowed to go to his relative's funeral. Or at least you're not allowed to bring him to his relative's funeral. Why is that? So this is a very famous Machlokes Rishonim about Tum'as Kohen Likrovim. We all know a Kohen's allowed to be in time of the Krovim. It says so explicitly in the Chumash. The question is that Hutra or Dechuya? So there's a famous Rashi in Rashi in Brachos, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, who says, Tumas Kohen Krov is Hutra. He says not that we're dochen the Isser of Tumas Kohen in for the sake of the Karov. No, when the Torah said a Kohen Kippur Mitami, it said a Kohen Kippur Mitami L'Rechokin. The Torah never asked for a Kohen Kippur Mitami L'Krov in the first place. As a matter of fact, Rashi goes further than that, and Tosos doesn't like this. He says even for Mace Mitzvah is Hutra. Okay, but that's Hutra. Hutra means no Isser at all. However, the Rambam says many times in Hilchos Avelos, such as in Per Beis HaLechavav, see how chomer the mitzvah of Avelos is. Don't take it lightly. It's a very serious mitzvah. Why? Because it's Docha the Isra of Tumas Kohenim. And then he says again, later on, he says many times in that parak, it's Dechuya. Meaning, really this applies, but the mitzvah of Avelos, Hilchos Avel, Beis, Vav, and other places, is Docha it. Now, notice he says mitzvah avelos, not mitzvah kura. We'll come back to that. Now, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina might be this this funny chiddush of the Shav HaKohen. If you say it's hutra, then there's no iser for a kohen to go to his relative's funerals in the first place. So even by kohen kata, for sure mutter litame lekrovim. Because it's Hutra, there was never such an Isra as Tuma for your relatives in the first place, so why would it be Usr? However, it says the Shav HaKohen, he assumes it's Dechuya. He takes this, that's what he says. He says, Lidas HaRamam Shekasver Ekbeiz Tumas Avol Tumas Kohen Lekrovim Shav HaVelos, meaning Dechuya, says the Shav HaKohen, a big Chiddush. Ula yish lomar she'asur ki eino chayav b'mitzvahs avelos. If we know cotton's potter from avelos, we mentioned that once and we'll mention it again, right? Tanner are potter from avelos. So if he's potter from avelos, then he's not chayav in avelos. If he's not chayav in avelos, there's nothing to be doche toma. So since he has no mitzvah say of avelos, there's no dechia of toma. That would be paradoxical, or at least ironic. But that's talk about the Shav HaKohen is Machmir, yes.
Isn't the chiyuv of this 12-year-old based on
Bechina? Aha! So here's where it gets a little tricky. Now, this is a big, big controversy. Are we Machmir like this Kiddush of the Shav HaKohen that sounds so counterintuitive? Or are we not Machmir? It sounds counterintuitive, but it's logical. If it's the Chuya and he has no mitzvah to be Docha, there's nothing to be Docha. And the Shav HaKohen, I think, here, and everyone agrees to this, he says, it's more complicated than this. There's two Isurim. There is the Isur de Oraisa Litam Oso Biyadayim, and there is the Chiyuv Lehafrisho Mitam Chinuch, right? There are two levels. So says the Shav HaKohen, he says, well, as far as the Isra Tomoso Biyadayim, that's taka a real Isra Daraisa. That needs a Dechia in order to be Matra, and there's no Dechia. So here he says, Ein Dechia, and Usr. However, when it comes to Chinuch, as Ed pointed out, what is Chinuch? It's training him for when he's an adult. When he's an adult, he'll have a mitzvah Velos, and it'll be Docha. So therefore he says, since I'm Kevan in Mataras Chinuch, who? Lehargilo the mitzvos kidei sheyakayim lichsheyigdal ein sorach lehafrisho, because when he gets older you won't have to be on frisho because he'll have a dechiyah. But at least on the level it's supposed to be a dayim, he's machmir. Okay, there's a tremendous machlokas whether or not to accept this chiddush of the v'shav hakohen. Tremendous machlokas whether to accept this chiddush. Some do, some don't. Lemaisa, it is proper to be machmir like this v'shav hakohen. But what does that mean? Not to take it too far. Meaning, if the kid wants to go to his relative's funeral and he's big enough to go places on his own, you know, and he says, I want to go, then he wants to go, let him go. He'll walk in the building by himself. Right? You can drive him there in a car. The car doesn't go into the building. Let him walk in the building by himself, and you don't have to tell him not to. But if he's a one-year-old in a stroller or a little baby, then Taka and your mamash have to carry him in, then it's proper to be machmer like this chiddush of the Shabbat Kohen, even though it's counterintuitive. But, so it's proper to be machmer like this chiddush of the Shabbat Kohen, but to minimize it. So basically, it's not such a hard chomer to keep. Because if you have a little baby, you know, who's like really wouldn't, has no real good reason to be at the funeral anyway, no, it's your bring babies to funerals, but I'm saying, they don't really gain anything, then you should be machmer like the Shabbat Kohen and not bring him. And if he's big enough to gain from being the funeral to participate, then he's big enough to go by himself. And therefore, the v'shav hakohen's chomer would not apply. So l'maisa, we should be machmir like this v'shav hakohen. But you don't have to yell at someone who's makel, because a lot of our chomer disagree with it. And even so, it's really the chomer would only apply to little kids who you have to wheel or carry, who really there's no need for them to be at the funeral anyway. And therefore, it's not such a hard chomer to keep. Okay. Yes.
So the keser l'tamoso that's only on the other person, not at all on the direct level.
Correct. Okay. Base. I think that's about all I want to say for Aleph. Yeah. Base. Afil balmum mozum litame valcholo v'koenes mutarif litame. Okay. Even a balmum, we know, if we listened to the lining yesterday, a balmum has basically all the dinim of kahuna except that he can't do avoda. So a balmum has all the privileges in terms of truma, etc. Then he cannot be mitame. Cholo, of course, is not a kohen at all. Has no privilege of kahuna and can be mitame. Kohenes is allowed to be mitame. That's mefurish. The Gemara says. Emor lekohen kohanim b'nei Aaron. We know kohanim are b'nei Aaron. Why does it have to say b'nei Aaron? B'nei Aaron below b'nos Aaron. Right. That kohanim women is no problem. Whether it's their father is a kohen, their husband is a kohen, doesn't matter. If they are female, then there's no issur of tumas kohanim whatsoever. Here we have a very, very fascinating machlokas rishonim, which is hinted at in the shach. Those were Jehoisa Kohenes. A lot of the Achronim had a lot of difficulty with them. We won't focus on them. Now, mitzvah lali tamos. What's the chiddush of the shach? The chiddush of the shach is that it's not just a woman is allowed to be mitame. A woman is a mitzvah to be mitame. Because, if we look at Sif Gimel, kol ha-mesim were imparshish kohen mitame lahem, mitzvah she'itame lahem, v'yim lo ratzim mitame sobal korcho echad ish v'echad isha. Okay, here it is. Here's the mitzvah. Okay, it's a mefurish v'chaber. Right, that all these seven krovim that we're about to say, the kohen's mitame, it's not just permission for him to be mitame. It's a mitzvah for him to be mitame. It's a mitzvah for him to be mitame to them. And if he doesn't want to, he forces them against his will. There's a mice like that in the Mishnah with the Yosei HaKohen, or whatever. Pesach didn't want to lose the whole korban Pesach, and his wife died and he didn't care, and they forced him mitame against his will. Echad ish v'echad isha, what does it sound like from the machaber? Even a woman is still chayiv to be mitame. Most achronim assume, although the shach here is funny, that even a woman is chayiv to be mitame, even a Yisrael is also chayiv to be mitame. Meaning every Jew is chayiv to be mitame for their relatives. Which makes sense. A Jew should participate in the levaya of his or her relative. Here, this is coming off Fuke from the Rambam. The Rambam has a tremendous chiddush. The Rambam says, a male kohen is mitzvah to be mitame l'krovav. But a female kohenes is not. And it seems pretty clear, Yisrael is also not. So here we have, in terms of the mitzvah litame, if here we have a kohen and a kohenes and a Yisrael or Yisraelit, so the Rambam Shita is pretty clear, kohen is chayav, a kohenes is ptura, and Yisrael also seems to be potter. The shita of the Mechaber seems pretty clear potter. The shita of the Mechaber and Rove Poskim is also clear. Chayav, chayav, chayav. The shita of the Shach is tricky, and I don't have a great hesper for it. The Shach sounds like chayav, chayeves, and potter. Right? It sounds only a woman who's kohenis is chayeves. The Shach I don't have a great hesper for. What's the Pashup Shach? The Pashup Shach is like most poskim. Everyone has to be mitame to their relative. That's part of honoring their relative. The shita of the Rambam is strange. Right? Svara, Micha. We'll leave this. The shita of most poskim makes a lot of sense. Everyone has to take care of their relative who died. What's the shita of the Rambam? Why does only a kohen have to be mitame, not anyone else? It seems perverse. The kohen is also mitame. Why does only he have to be mitame, not to anyone else? So here you can explain the Rambam two ways. If you insisted stubbornly on being boring, you could say, well, maybe it's like a gzeira d'oraisa. Everyone else, the Torah doesn't command to be mitame, and trust them that if they need to, they will. But the Kohen, the Torah commands to be mitame, because we're afraid that maybe it'll be necessary for him to participate and he won't. But, you know, sort of like just to, as a gzeira, everyone else, Torah says, use your judgment. The Torah doesn't trust the Kohen to use his judgment, because he doesn't want to miss out on avodah, the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the Torah commands him to be mitame. But that's not the way the Rav understood it. The Rav understood it as something more philosophical. So here we'll put the Rav. The Rav says no. Why is there a mitzvah to be mitame for a karov? After all, why do you need to be mitame for a karov? What if you're not strong enough to carry the body? What if, you know, when they have the funeral, they don't have a funeral home, they have it out in the open air, so there's no ohel. Like, why do you have to go out of your way to be mitame? You should just have to pray the proper kavod and make sure the burial goes well. Why do you have to go out of your way to be mitame? So the Rav says, no, the mitzvah is only for the Kohen to be mitame. Why? Because if anyone else mitame, it doesn't do anything to them. The Kohen is mitame, it's mechalel his kedushas kahuna. So the mitzvah is davka, it's not to become tame. It's to be mechalel his kahuna. The mitzvah is that when the Kohen's relative passed away, he should take so seriously and should be so existentially stricken by this encounter with death in a very real, relevant way that he gives up on his kedushas kahuna. After all, if kedushas kahuna is that he has certain standards he set for himself and certain goals in life. You know, Kedusha Kuna is all about accomplishing these very, very, very refined and ambitious goals with his life. Then, if he really takes the death of his relative seriously, he has to give up on that. He has to say, I'm a chal of that. No, I can't have these plans for life. I can't have these standards for life anymore because life is fleeting and meaningless, and you know there's really no point in all these things that I really thought I should plan for. And it's similar to what the Rav says about Anina. So why does he not do mitzvot? Because when you're really struck with the existential dread of death, then you can't really think about, you know, accomplishing the things you normally want to and going about your normal life. Okay, so this is the Rav. The Rav says a Kohen has to be mitame because he has to be mechal his kedusha. A Yisrael, if he had Kedusha, would have to mechalel it. You can't keep your Kedusha when you're faced with death of a relative. But Yisrael has no Kedusha anyway, so there's no need to be mitame. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin, shach notwithstanding, that everyone's chayav to be mitame to their, that everyone's chayav to be mitame to their krovim.
So for Yisrael, that technically we should cause it to become tame, there's no
ohel or... So I mean, you should go out of your way to touch the mace. For Yisrael, assuming we paskin like the other poskin, so that means you have to go out of your way to touch the mace, even if there's no normal opportunity. It's a good question. Simple shot from the poskin. It sounds like if there's a normal part you can participate in that involved becoming tummy, you have to. But it could be they wouldn't go so far as to say you have to go out of your way to become tummy if it doesn't accomplish anything. But you should try to participate in a way that gets you as closely as possible, which generally makes you tummy.
According to the Rav explanation, would you need to become tummy from your relative per se, or just not become tummy?
Well, Corey, it's a great question. I hear the kasha. Sorry. Yes?
Do you have any other situations where that chiluk applied?
That Dafka Chilul Kedusha?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of anything offhand. Okay. Yes, Elchanan and then Victor.
So, but according to the belief in passing that for everybody, does the cop should the coin be dafka try to be metane?
Should the coin be dafka try to be metane? Pashtos, look, in all practical situations, what happened to Yosef HaKohen, right? They were Tami and Bal Korcho, right? So they were Tami and Bal Korcho. So, it's a good question. Like, usually in most cases, there's what to be Matami, right? You can go to the Kever, you can go to the funeral home, you could be in the bias with the mace, etc. You know, what would happen if there was just nothing you could do that would be a tummy? No way you could, like, be closer and participate more that would make you tummy. What would we say about a Kohen about Yisrael? I'll leave that at sort of eon, because in most cases, you could always just be closer and be participating more fully and be metami. You know, what happens if, like, I don't know, there's some, like, weird case, I don't know, like, there's some government quarantine or something, you know, and, you know, if you want, like, they can let you, walk under a tree that overhangs, like, the place where no one's allowed in because of some infectious disease or plague or something. Nowadays, would the coin have to go? I'll leave that for Tzorchim. But normally, yeah, you want to go and participate in the burial.
Let's say married sister.
Mm-hmm.
But I forgot. Maybe, do you have to be a time for married sister? You don't.
Or whatever the case is.
Let's say someone else is being a tapel primarily.
No, but it's a mitzvah to participate in the funeral. That's for sure. That you should personally participate if possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, yeah. So, second, what's the nature of the spiel? Meaning the Rambam, and you mentioned that the Devas. When we say this for everybody,
that's meduyik. The Rav and the Daik, the Ram says the chivin avelos, not a chivin kfura. Meaning the point isn't to, like, help make sure that kfura happens. The point is, to be misabel, it's part of, and the Rav held the velos, the Rav held the velos to believe, he had his famous diukin that we mentioned already, so really, it's part of your emotional experience, and that worked very well for the Rav. If not, you would just say that part of a velos is covered a mace, meaning, if you didn't want to say the Rav, you would just say, it's for covered a mace, and a velos is also covered a mace. But clearly, even without the Rav, you know, either way, like...
And that is
no, a velos don't raise him, according to the Rav. Okay, thank you.
But we pass
in. We pass in Toga the Rama. We don't pass like the Rama anyway.
We pass in for everybody. So what's the nature of that for everybody?
The Chor is covered on mace to come close and participate in the maximal way, which generally involves Toga.
And that's the covered mace is the Jerabon type of thing?
It's a good question. No, lechora covered a mace is d'oreis. You have to figure out what it falls under. Maybe it's part of fura. Maybe it's part of aninos. Maybe it's part of covered a brios. Okay, we'll leave that for now. Dalu elam korban shematami lehem. Who does the korban shematami to? Number one, there are seven korban, as we all know this probably. Six are mentioned in the Torah, and one is darshan from the Torah. Ishto nesua, a wife only if she's nesua, she kshera, and only if she's allowed to be married to him. Aval psula. If she's not allowed to be married to him, then they're not really supposed to be married. So we don't recognize and give kulas based on this. Oh, grusha, if they're divorced, they're not related anymore. Or a grusha, if there was eris and not nisuin, like in the old days, when they had eris and not nisuin, they're not close yet. Lo onev, lo metami, lo vachini, lo nez, lo metami, lo. Basically, these are not considered related in any way. And lo dav for kahuna. There's no aninos, and there's no tuma, and there's no avelos, we'll see. Right? They're not considered closely related for these purposes. That's the first relative. When we're talking about the ima filin eschala, all the other relatives, by the way, the wife, if she's a chalala or a grusha or a zona, etc., since she's forbidden to him, that's not a valid relationship. But all the other relatives, I don't care if the neskala mikdush is a kahuna. Mikdush kahuna. The other relatives are not because they have kedush kahuna. They're just because they're related. So his mother, even if she's a chalala, meaning she was a chalala after she gave birth to him, because she's a chalala and gave birth to him, he'd be a chalala. But let's say she became a chalala later, it doesn't matter. She's still his mother. It's not because they're badrega, it's because they're korva. They don't have to be a kohen, they just have to be krovin. So his mother, even if she's neschala, will have no vito, and for his son and daughter, the kinley, shekolo chadashim, shem shalom, if we're sure they're a full-term baby, or they lived at least 30 days, because we know they're not a nephel, because a nephel is not considered a real person, so it can't be a relative, afilim psulim, and likewise, even the son and daughter, even if they're apostle and not kohanim, because that's because of korva, not because of kahuna, chutz vibito, no vito, and a shifcho, kusis. This should be obvious to us. I mean, even if they're psulim, he married him on zeres or grusha, etc., unless their mother was a shifcha or a gentile, because then they're not considered related to him. Same thing for his brother and sister, from his father, same father, whether or not it's the same mother, even if they're psulim. It doesn't matter if they're Kohanim or not, as long as they're not born from a Shifka or a Goya or a Nachris, because then they wouldn't be related to him. But for his maternal half-brother and sister, that's not a close enough relative, he's not Matami. Likewise, for his sister who had Eirusim with someone else, once she changed her last name, as it were, doesn't matter if she actually does nowadays, but she's not part of his family as much anymore, and that weakens the relationship. So, for sure, if she's Nesu to someone else, even if she's a Rusa to someone else, that's Machlok's Tanam, this is Ewe Kaska, Filo Rusa Lekoin, even if she's a Rusa Lekoin, it has nothing to do, again, everyone but the wife, it has nothing to do with their status, it just has to do with their closeness. Lola Nusa Mufuta, and like, Zachos Absula, if she lost her Basulin, whether it was Barotzen or Baonis, Onis or Mufuta, if she's not a Basula, he can't be Matami for her. And, even if she is a Basula, if she's Averson to someone else, which we don't have nowadays, that'd be suing. He can't be Matami Tur. Above the time of the Chosu, Rishon is Garsha, but if she had Averson and then got divorced, and she's still a Basula, and she came back to her father's house, he can be Matami to her, Bogeris. Even if Bogeris has less Basulim, he can be Matami to her, Mukas Eitz. Even if she lost her Basulim through an accident, not through Bia, he can still be Matami to her. Matami Lashmas, Yavam, Filim Kosu, Kuswasi, Mises, Lobonim, Hajjuk, Suzas, Nasha. This is a big Indian that Rishonim, we're not going to get into it because it's not so the mice nowadays. If he has a Shemeres Yavam, right, his wife, his brother died without kids and he's waiting to marry his brother's widow, then he's Matami for her because this seems to be Durabana, they made her like a Meis Mitzvah, since he gets her Ksuba, since he gets all her money, therefore he's responsible for burying her and no one else will care about her but him, because they'll say, he got all the money, why should he be worried? Therefore, she's like a Meis Mitzvah, Rabbanan and defined her like a Meis Mitzvah, and he'd be Matami for her. And the Chiddush is, they made this some sort of little plug, even if written or Ksuba, that he doesn't get the money, nonetheless, they made a low plug. Okay, not so Lamaisa nowadays, for reasons we'll get to. That is the list of relatives. It's fairly straightforward. I think they're the other details we won't chazer for now. Let's go to Hay. Kol elosh v'tami lam fish lo l'tzorich fish. Omer dafka l'tzorich. This is a fundamental machlokas. Are you mitami l'tzorich or shelo l'tzorich? So almost all the Rishonim write. Bein l'tzorich, bein shelo l'tzorich. That's what it sounds like for most of Shas. Meaning, even if he doesn't need to do anything, he still is mitami lahem. However, there's a tosfos in Psachim, who says a bit of a sheet is yachid. Yesh omer davka l'tzorich. Okay, this is obviously another nafkamina of this kakira. What about shelo l'tzorich? If it's hutra, then mitame afilu shelo l'tzorich. What do you mean? Who cares if you need to participate? You're mitame even shelo l'tzorich. What does l'tzorich mean? L'chor l'tzorich means, as we'll see, l'tzorich kavura. Afilu shelo l'tzorich kavura. However, if it is dechuya, now you can ask how it's dechuya. According to the Rambam himself, you might say, according to the Rav, it's dechuya to mechal your kedusha to show your experience. In which case, it would still be even shalom l'tzorah. But you could say, maybe, yesh lomar, shemitame rak l'tzorah kvura. Okay, that's if you assume, unlike the Rav, that the Dechiyah is because of Kvura, not because of the existential experience of encounter with death. Right? So if you say, Intim Tzolomer, Dinidche Mipnei Mitzvahs Kvura, Velo Mipnei Kiyum Belev Shall Avelos, like the Rav assumes. If it's Nid, the Dechuy is a Kiyum Belev of Avelos, you have to Mechal yourself and lower yourself to really feel the Avelos. Right? Remember, Vahulaba for Karnu. You have to lower yourself as part of Avelos. Lowering yourself means taking away your crown of Kedusha. Okay? Then even fall the Tzara. But if you assume that it's Nidcha, no, Nidcha more practically, just someone has to be on top of with the mace, then you get to this big chumrah. Okay, the ikar dim, what does it sound like for the mechaber? Sounds like you can mitame only the tzorich, even shelo the tzorich. What it sounds like the ikar dim is?
Even shelo the tzorich.
Yeah, because that's the stam. The other day, Shomer says there. Amos for Ishona feel meis lo meis b'Shabbos if shall cover bo b'yom shor the Thomas will shomer the middle be Zion. According to the first svara, even on Shabbos you can be shomer the meis. Sounds like one of the second svara you can't be shomer the meis because it's not sort of kvura, right? Even though it's like watching him that it's not left unrespective. And nachal lahachrek as far as chronos shlo Thomas of sort kvura lo b'lo arunat tachrichen. Meaning not in sort of shmira, only in sort of kvura. So says the Ramah, now according to the Ramah, what's the Ikra Din? Lakula or Lachomer? What does it sound like the Ikra Din is? Lakula, because it is Nachal Lachmer. But it's proper to be Machmer to only be Matami Litzorich. The Nekudas HaKesef says on the side here, the Ikra Kesvari Shona V'chein HaMinek Pasha. So here we have, what about Tuma Shelo Litzorich? Here we have two opinions. The Mechaber, or maybe three opinions, says the Mechaber, he sounds like it's Mutter, because that's the Stam. The Ramah says, Mutter Medina, he assumes, but Nachon Lehachmir. All right, well, Mechaber. And the Shach. The Shach says also Mutter. Nah, he says no Nachon Lehachmir on this. We're not Machmir on this. Okay, Lemaisa. It's not so pashut how to paskin because the Shach says the minig is to be mekel, and even the Ramah didn't say the ikra din, it was usser. Right? Meaning we don't have any poskim say this. I don't know. Tosas m'sachim. Tosas m'sachim says usser, but that's not an achron in the Shohar. That's a rishon. So halacha l'maisa not so clear. Those who are mekel have what to rely on. Therefore, the Shach says that's the minig, and even the Ramah just said nachon l'hachmir. However, most poskim say it's nachon to be machmir like the Ramah. So, lemaisa, most poskim say nachon lahachmir. Again, nachon lahachmir means if someone's mekel, you don't have to fight with them. You know, someone doesn't want to be so firm. But then they make many exceptions. However, and the truth is a big chiddush, this nachon lahachmir. However, they make many exceptions, right? Because, keep in mind, it's only a nachon lahachmir. Even that nachon lahachmir is very controversial because the Shach says, what do you mean? There's no room to be machmer at all. So it's like a suffix nachon lahachmer. So because of that, lemaisa is nachon lahachmer, but with many exceptions that come from the achronim and are brought down by all the later svarim. For example, says the Chachmas Adam, im yesh achirim sheyecholim la'asok, or afilu, even if there are chirim who could do it, it doesn't mean if someone else could do it, he shouldn't do it. No, he should do everything he can. It just means only if he's doing something. But he shouldn't like get other people to do it. He should do it. And the big clue is the chavos das. I mean, not the chavos das, it's the same person. The derech achayim, right? The sitter tefila of the gomi lisa. Who's the gomi lisa? The Nesivus, right? The Nesivus, his sitter is called Derech HaChayim. If you ever notice sometimes these old Sidurim with a lot of Mepharshim says Dalet Heches sometimes, or even some of the new Sidurim have the Halachas, Dalet Heches, that's the sitter of the Nesivus, and he put Halachas in it. And not all the Halachas have to do with the sitter, sometimes he threw things in at various places, so says the sitter Derech HaChayim, B'yom Chol Yeshev Im HaMeis Babayis Shema Yitzdarchulo. Okay, so basically he says Nachal Lahachmir, but we take a lot of the teeth out of this chumra and make it not such a big chumra in the end. Yeah, Nachal Lahachmir should only be Mitami Litzorich. What does Litzorich mean? Well, Litzorich means if there's anything to be done, he should do it and someone else shouldn't do it. He shouldn't get Yisrael to do it, he should do it. And even if there's nothing to be done, if it's a weekday, he should be shomer the mace because maybe there'll be something that needs to be done. So in the end, basically, what's the chumrah? The chumrah is just like on Shabbos, don't sit with the mace. But it's not really such a big chumrah in the end. So lemaisa we're machmir, there's nachon lahachmir, but it's not such a big chumrah. Therefore, the kohanim, right? Let's say there's a funeral. The funeral calls for 12:00. The kohanim go to the funeral parlor at 11:00 with all the Yisrael relatives and the female relatives, and they sit there in the sitting room, etc. And they don't worry about, oh, maybe I should only go when we're actually like carrying out the mace, etc. Because that's all considered litzorech. Like, what if things are going on, and maybe we'll need them. And likewise, let's say someone died in the house, the Kohen would be allowed to stay in the house on a weekday, because, like, there's things to be done. And even if right now there's no things to be done, there might be things that need to be done soon, so he should be around. So the Chomer would really only be on Shabbos or in some, like, rare situation where there's mamish, like, you know, nothing whatsoever. There's mamish nothing whatsoever to be done.
Once you're at the funeral home and the funeral's about to happen, the Chavgadisha's handling everything, what else is there to do?
No, the Chavgadisha says, because he should do things. Not everyone. What else is there to do? I don't know. For example, they might have... what else is there to do? They might... it's a good question. Now these things are very organized. You know, what if some question comes up about the burial plot? What if all of a sudden, you know, some bill needs to be paid for the burial that wasn't taken care of, that's a surprise. You'd be surprised how many surprise bills there are in situations like this. Is this supposed to be an air conditioning? Does it feel like there's air conditioning?
It doesn't feel super strong, but it does feel a little
strong. Okay, consider. Air conditioning is always good. Anyway, Lamaisa, so Lamaisa, we're not a lot, but we try to stretch that for as makeable as possible.
This sounds like there's no kliyot to be metane, because otherwise there would be, you know, chomer, but we could kulam.
No, let's assume you'll be metane once. The question is the rest of the time. Okay, vav. Ain metane lehem al
sheep.
If, because it says that he's a kliyot to be metane. So therefore, you put two and two together, and you have to assume that in Sif Gibbon. But, Ein Matam L'Mashi Yisrael Golem. The limit is Yisrael Golem. Yisrael Golem means they receive, as we can discuss, they remember, so a big machlok is what Golem is. We're Machmir, like Rashi. Golem is the cover of the coffin, but not in the funeral parlor, only in the ground. Basically, when they either put the coffin in the ground and it's covered, in America or in Israel, they put slabs to cover it in the ground, then the heter ends. Meaning, as soon as they do the first step of burial, the heter ends, and then he's not allowed to be there anymore. In the old days, or for some reason, if the intention was to bury in one place and then move to someplace else, he's not considered properly buried until he gets to the second place, so the heter extends until he gets to the second place, but we don't really do that much anymore.
Is the man going to have a coin to do the shoveling, because I could move the mace?
And also because he's going to end up like being Mahil on the base. Yeah, for sure.
There's also the parents that the kids don't.
No, but it's lots of relatives. Zayin. Also, the Kohen is time of the mace of the Eishim and time of the Krovav. This is a big, big, big issue. Could a Kohen who's already Tamei anyway be Metamei in the mace? So, here it comes also the Rambam, although there's a lot of controversy with what the Rambam means. It's also for a Kohen to be Metamei in the mace even when he's been Metamei for his Karov. Therefore, anyone notice in a lot of cemeteries, the Kohanim are at the edge of the cemetery? Why are the Kohanim at the edge of the cemetery? Because, what? Exactly, because a Kohen can't be Metamic as someone else while he's being Metamic for his mace. So if his father's plot is mamish in the middle of like 100 other graves, then that's a problem. He has to walk over all the other graves. So what do? We bury the Kohanim at the end of the cemetery, and therefore, he just goes from the side where there's no graves, walks over regular grass, and goes to his father's kever, and then he can stand by his father's kever and not have to be near any other graves. Of course, the assumption is the Kohen at the end of the cemetery doesn't mean, like, you first bury Kohanim, like, on the border and then further inside, because then it means, like, you know, if here's all the graves of the Yisraelim, then the Kohanim have to go in order, you know, first... this row, and then this row, and then this row. And that way, whenever anyone buries a Kohen, they don't have to walk over any other graves. But obviously, like, if here would be Israel, and then you'd start with this side, then it would block off that, and that would be silly and miss the whole point. Okay. Someone remind me to get a new eraser someday. Who wants to take charge of that? Because too many, you know... So, Elchanan, you're in charge of reminding me to get a new eraser. Okay. This is a big says Rama the davka la'acher shapirish b'meiso all shu'osig meiso much as amchir says no, the iser is not while he's carrying his father's coffin. While he's carrying his father's coffin, he's allowed to walk over other graves, because if he's mamish touching his father, or carrying counts as touching, because ma says like maga, then it's no worse to touch two mason at the same time than one mason at the same time. That's not a problem. The problem is that after he buries his father, how does he get out? He has to walk over other graves, right? In most cemeteries that I've seen, you can't get out without walking over other graves. Maybe you could step between the graves, but your arms are still going to be over the graves, you know, unless you like shimmy like this, but that's not so practical to get out of a whole cemetery. It's not going to work. So therefore, he says the problem is afterwards, not before. This has to do with a tremendous, very famous four-way Machlokas Rishonim. Who owns a smartphone? No one wants to admit it on tape because someday their kids have to get shiduchim.
I, Ben, Kyle have a smartphone.
Okay. Shuma, you want to get the board? He just made a kiddush and you're already ruining her shit.
He didn't even come. All
right. Faye, it should be said. Don't worry, he also has a kosher phone. This is a very nogea machlokas rishonim. We won't go into how everyone answered the sugya because there seem to be only two possible shitas in the Gemara, and yet there are four shitas in the rishonim. Two of them are against the pshat of the Gemara, but you know, there's always ways to answer. Not to worry, you always find a sugya someplace else. So, what are the four shitas? The main sheet is there's a famous halachah of Ritar from Rabbi Akiva, okay? There's some people who are so, who's who, but we'll stick with the main girsa. About, he said, everyone agrees, if a kohen's touching his father, he's also allowed to touch someone else. Because it's no worse to touch two mason at one time than one mason at one time. The question is, what about, and everyone agrees.
Really? Why doesn't anyone disagree with that?
I just said in the Gemara, it sounds like no one disagrees with that. Some people might. Okay, so, give me a second. Everyone agrees, if the kohen buried his father yesterday, he's not allowed to be tameh lameis today, because now he's having a new tumah. He used to be tameh yesterday, and then today he counts as the second day, right? And then the third day he gets sprinkled, and now he's tameh again. He counts as the first day, he's getting a higher tumah. Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Ritar, what about the same day? On the one hand, Rabbi Akiva says, on our gear, so who says which? In our Girsa, sorry, give me, I just don't want to say it over wrong. In our Girsa, in our Girsa, Rabbi Akiva says mutter. Because if he was already tummy today, being tummy again today doesn't make it any worse. Either way, he needs another 7 days to become tar when we get a paraduma. Rabbi Tarfon says it's usher, because he's more tummy. When he was just tummy that day, he has one level of tummy. When he's touching a mace, he has a higher level of tummy. Why? Because if I was tummy earlier today and I touch you, you're a rishon. If I am touching a mace and I touch you, then you're an av. So therefore, you see there's a higher level of tumah to be touching a mace than just have touched a mace earlier that day. So it's also most of that tumah. Okay, so here's the main shitas. Here we have Rabbi Tarfon says, if while touching the karov, same day and on a later day. It says, Rabbi Tarfon says, while you're touching the karov, you're allowed to be nitma. But that same day is aser, and certainly later is aser, because when you touch a karov again that same day, it's a higher level of tumah. at least temporarily. Because while you're touching the karov, you can make other things more tummy.
Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's much or even the same day. The same day doesn't really, touching it on the same day gives you more tumma. Because as soon as you let go, you're on your first day.
Most Rishonim, Paskin, of course there are two other possibilities. The other possibility is to say, even while touching the karov is usur. Right? Maybe it's always usur. Why would be usur while you're touching the karov? You're no more tummy if you touch two mason than if you touch one mace. What would Rav Schechter answer, quoting the Achiezer?
It's all about going close to...
Yeah, who cares? You're going close to a second mace. That's the second isser. Who cares if you're more tummy or less tummy? It's not about more tummy or less tummy. And maybe, if you want to be very radical, you could say... You know, let me say this a little better. I apologize. Let me say at the very least, putter, and putter. We'll see if it's actually mutter. Okay. Now, Pashas, the middle two, are the main shitas in the Gemara. The other two you need to answer for other things. What is the Ramah saying? What is the Ramah? Think about what the Ramah says. While you're carrying your father, it's no problem, but on the way back, it's a problem. How is he paskening? Like which shita? 1, 2, 3, 4?
Maybe careful. No. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Exactly. The Ramah is paskening like Rabbi Tarfon, that while he's carrying his father, he's allowed to walk over other graves. Because it's not most of any tumma while he's carrying, but on the way back, later that day, it's usur, and therefore he can't get into the situation where, meaning, if he has a choice, he can't get into a situation where he's going to be stuck later that day and have to be metame. Right? So this is the psak of Rov Rishonim and the Ramah. And the Beis Yosef also sounds this way. Who famously passed like Rabbi Akiva?
Right.
No. Rabbi Yutam. Rabbi Yutam passes like Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, says Rabbi Yutam, you're allowed, a coin's allowed to bury his relative anywhere he wants. Why? Because on the way there, he's allowed to touch other kvarim. And even on the way back, it's the same day. You don't spend it, you come back the same day. And the same day, you're a potter if you walk over every other kfarim. After a potter, it's also Rabbanan, okay. But the makom, the needs of burial, they clearly weren't gozer. Even if Pacha maybe was an Issa Rabbanan the same day, they weren't gozer when it's necessary. So therefore, according, here's the basic machlokas here. If we talk about this question of culling, burying in the middle of the cemetery, according to random time, it's mutter. Because what do you mean? He's allowed while he's carrying his father, and he's even allowed to go back the same day. Or at least it's not an issue of Raisa and Bimakom covet of getting a nice burial spot. They weren't gozer. Right. Random time, I'd admit, you shouldn't stam go to another mace that same day. But when necessary, for sure, mutter. According to this, here we see the Ramah. Asur mishum. Hachazara, it's usur because of going back. Who? Paskin's like the most machmer shita. The machaber sounds like it's usur afilu be'ace, right? And who's the machaber quoting word for word? But lashon, not word for word, but
the Rama.
So this is the Rama. Now the truth is, it's not so clear because if you look at the Kesef Mishnah on the Rama, he interprets it like Rov Rishonim, and he tries to stretch it a little. So it's not so clear because the Rama is talking against the Gemara. Okay, but, you know, they look at all the Achron and they all find that, hey, he's against the Gemara, but he's like a different Gemara. So this is definitely shot in the Rambam. Kipshuto, and which Achron Pasuk is like that? The Shach quotes this from the Bach in Sifkat and Yud Beis, and he said, the Bach and the Mechaber sounds like this, and that's what the Levush, the Atar Zov, also wrote, but the Madani Melech said not that way. Okay, the Rambam and the Bach, and the Nafkmina between that and the Ramah is very slight. Either way, it's Usser. But is it only Usser because of the way back, or is it also Usser because of the way there? I guess the Nafkmina is. Let's say the coins at the end of the cemetery. Can they walk through the cemetery on the way there and just walk out on the way back? Right? So it's Usser, Afilu, Bahali Chasel. Right? Let me say this better. Mutter Bahali Chasel Aval Aser Bahazaraso. And Mutter. By the way, there's not such a big nafmin as you would think. because even the Ramaz Kula would only help if the Kohen is actually walking with stretching out on top of or carrying the body. If the Kohen just following the body like 3 people behind, then even the Ramaz Kula, the Bachi, can't even walk through or for grapes because it's not at the same time he's being a Tommy to his base. Right? So Lemaisa, we Paskin Usser, and the Kohen has buried the edge of the cemetery, or I was once at a funeral in Eretz Yisrael where there were no plots. They couldn't bury in the middle. So they just told the Kohanim, okay, so don't walk all the way to the kever. Walk on this path. You'll be, eight almost away. You'll be able to see what's going on, and you'll say Kaddish from there. Okay, I heard that in some places it could be they're knowing like Rabbeinu Tam. That I don't know. Where I've been, I've seen them be knowing like the Ramban and the Bach are basically the same thing. Lemaisa, the Kohanim don't walk over the other kvar. That's the minhag that I've seen. If some places have a minhag like Rabbeinu Tam, that's their minhag. I don't know. Okay. Now, there is a fourth radical shita here, and this is a bit complicated because there are steerers in the shita of this Rishon, which is not necessarily a problem because this is a Rishon who's famous for changing his mind. Right? Which Rishon changed his mind the most? The Ravi. Okay. Right? The Ravi changed his mind the most. Okay? I in my Ravi type Salmatrix essay about this. The Ravi, he's clearly on the Makel side, like Rabbeinu Tam here. Right? In most places. But, at least in Hilchot Nazirus and one or two other places, the Ravid says, nope, against that whole Bryce Rekivir Tarfon, maybe relying on a Rav and a different sugya entirely, that Mutter, or at least Pater Midoraisa, even afterwards. This Ravid is a tremendous Kiddush. What this means is that if, Zev Kahana Ad Meva Esrim should not have any Tsaras, but Zev. Are your father's parents alive?
His father's not alive.
So your father, Mustama, went to his father's funeral, right? Okay, so Zev's father went to his father's funeral many years ago. Now he's coming. According to the Ravid, now he's not chayiv if he goes to any other funerals or graveyards or cemeteries or funeral whatever in the world, because he's already tamei once. That Ravid is a tremendous kula. Tremendous, meaning this is mutter, but that's not the big kiddush. Mutter, right? It's mutter from the Tami forever now. Now here the Achronim go crazy arguing. Did the Ravid mean mutter, or did the Ravid mean putter of a lesser midrabbana? So, the Mishnah Melech implies that the Ravid meant, I'm not saying he agrees, the Ravid meant mutter. It's taka. Nowadays, we have no paraduma. Once a Kohen is tummy once, either one relative died low lane and went to the funeral, or he was stuck by accident, right? It can happen, right? A Kohen is stam in a normal place, and all of a sudden someone dies, right? Now he's tummy once. Now forever, he's good to go. He has no more restrictions. Many other Achronim assumed not that way. Rov Achronim assume that it's still Osir Midrabanan for the rest of his life. They say that's crazy. Then according to you, like, what was everyone are worried about in the old days? You know, once we can time once, there's no problem. But the Kohanim were always Nizer in the time of the Gemara and the time of the Gaonim, etc. So how can that be? So they say, no, he just means Osir Midrabanan. Even if it's Osir Midrabanan, it's a big kula. Once it goes down to Midrabanan, and then already starts off your kula and this and that, and you start with lots of kulas. And there even might be one or two other Achronim who agreed with the Ravid Bizbanazeh. They said, maybe in the old days that wasn't true, but nowadays we don't have a paraduma anyway. It's hard to talk about being Mosef Tuma once someone's Tamei. You know, in the old days, now you have to wait another 2 days for the paraduma. But nowadays, maybe we'd agree with Ravid. Anyway, there is the Shitas Yochid Adilik, the Ravid at the end of Shinayim Beis in the Achronim, we have both chazed them now, Pesach Tshuva, he quoted some Diyunim, whether you can be a tzarif that, Lahakal or not. Lemaisa, this is a very controversial issue nowadays. Can you be mitzarif the Ravid lahakel on shaylas of Tomas Kohanim or not? Clearly, we don't paskin like him. But can you be we paskin 2 steps more machmer than him or 3 steps more machmer than him? Can you be mitzarif him as a tzad lahakel is very controversial. The lemaisa, I'm not getting into all kinds of complicated shaylas, but lemaisa, he's not a big tzad lahakel because this is not an open machlokas. This is a shitas yacht.
When you allow Cohen to slide to in between the farm carefully, like definitely with the tzaddik or the Tana Hakel?
That's the Rav Moshe.
What about the four Amos? Would that apply to?
Good question. You're right, the four Amos would take away the possibility of sliding, although that's only Xer Drabonim, right? I don't know. I don't see how you can, because, first of all, the four Amos, who says we can make on the Dalet Amos even? And also, like, it's just not, you can't paskin things that are impossible most of the time. You know, it's just not, that's not the way halacha works. So I don't think so. Lemaisa, bottom line, you should know there is the sheet of the Raya floating around out there. Some people have been sorry for the Hakel in case, which are mostly mutter anyway, but you can't build too much of a cool out of this Raya. At one point in time, there were people who were very, very makel who wanted to come up with crazy coolas. Right? There were, you know, a long time ago, there were all these in the United States, 150 years ago, before there were rabbis, where there were these reverends. Reverend just means unordained rabbi. The Kohanim used to do funeral. I mean, they didn't know much Torah, but, you know, someone published once in a journal a suggestion for maybe a kula, but all Kohanim can tell me whenever they want nowadays, because fake sveka. Maybe the Ravid's right that once you're tamei once, you can continue to be tamei, and maybe he's not a Kohen. This has to do with a famous machlokas. This is in like a Dugomir Vavar, maybe someplace earlier. Okay, doesn't matter. There's a famous machlokas in the Maharashtam and the Maharit. You know, 400 years ago. Based on the Gemara condition of Samach Tes, the Gemara says, our Kohanim don't have proof they're Kohanim. It's only Chazaka. And therefore, they can eat Truma Darabon, but they can't eat Truma Daraisa. It's a fundamental Machlokes Rishonim, and it's Achronim, really. What's the Ikar Din? Is the Ikar Din the Torah relies on Chazaka and our Kohanim are Kohanim? It's just that there were gozer in them. They shouldn't eat truma if there's better kohanim to eat the truma. But the ikar din, that's what most achronim assume. The chasam sofer and the chazan ish, that if we built the base of mikdash tomorrow, the kohanim could do avoda. Because the ikar din our kohanim midoraisa. They're just machmer drabanan when it's possible to be machmer and get a better kohanim. You should. Or you say no, the ikar din our kohanim are only safek kohanim. Therefore, we're machmer misafek. But they're really not Kohanim Midoraisa. Okay, the Maharashtam held they're not Kohanim Midoraisa, and therefore he wanted to come up with all kinds of coolas and help this Kohanim. No one ever had the chutzpah to put together the Maharashtam and the Ravid, but someone, I don't know who, no one famous, maybe 100 years ago, said, maybe you fake sveka. According to the Maharashtam, you're really maybe Kohen, maybe not. And even if you are a Kohen, maybe the Ravid's right, and therefore we can be matter everything in the world. Okay, there is such a star floating out there, but that is not considered orthodox. I don't know what the conservatives say. That's their problem. But Lemaisa, we hold Me'ikar Din, not like the Ravid, that even a Kohen Tamei is not allowed to be Nitma again, and we hold Me'ikar Din, not like Maharashtam, that our Kohanim are Kadei Kohanim, so therefore, that is not, those Svaras are not strong enough to be Mekel on all these Shilas. You can't say, well, maybe the Ravid's right, and maybe I'm not a Kohen anyway, but Mekel on all the Shilas, because we Paskin Kohanim are real Kohanim, like the Maharit, and we Paskin that even if you're a Tamei once, you're not allowed to become Tamei again, at least not the next day for sure. And we pass it on even that day, like everyone against the right.
Yes, sir. Someone asked a question about being the Chabi, your father, and a Kohen. Some modern day folks said.
So this does come up. The Maharashtam comes up. How about being Mechabit Kohanim? How much you have to be Mechabit Kohanim, etc. Dini Mamnis Kohanim. But I'm not getting into every Shaila, and I know this is found all over the Poskim, and the Yavis makes a big deal, etc. But the standard practice of Sumar Kohanim or Vade Kohanim, Vaharaya, you know, we give them Pidyon HaBen, and we don't worry that maybe they don't deserve it, and we don't say we're going to Safi HaMosvichel Haraya. We assume that our Kohanim are real Kohanim nowadays. Okay, and that's enough. We're not going to get into the Shilas. And that's why a Kohen's not allowed to go to medical school. Because when you go to medical school, you have to do anatomy lab. First of all, you have to be in the hospital with a lot of dead people. And, you know, even if you say, well, maybe no one will find a hospital, you can do an anatomy lab on cadavers. That's how you learn to be a doctor. So that's why a Kohen cannot go to medical school. Even if he says, maybe I'm not a real Kohen like the Maharashtam, that's not a valid kula. Even if he says, maybe I was once tamei when I was 3 years old, someone died in a building I was in, or I once went to my relative's funeral, Oling, the rite is not a valid heter, and a Kohen is not allowed to go to funerals, and he's not allowed to go to he's not allowed to go to medical school. If he said, maybe I'll go to medical school where there's only Goyish cadavers, and I won't touch them, and I won't move them, I just don't know
that's really a practical thing to do. So, I won't be machmer. I'll be makel on the shayla of the goyim. You know, I won't be nachot. But I don't think you can really do that. That's not a practical plan, which is why the meaning is that Kohanim don't go to medical school. What if someone their whole life wanted to go to medical school? And then all of a sudden someone tells them they can't. And now it's too hard to be signed for them. That's why when we get to Parshas Emor in third grade, we have to teach everyone that Kohanim don't go to medical school. If when he's third grade he knows he doesn't go to medical school, then he'll be a fine engineer or accountant or what have you. What?
Probably a dentist.
No, I think the dentist also do anatomy lab on... I don't know. I have no idea. I've never gone to any of these schools, so I have no idea. He'll figure something out. Okay. That's the key. So everyone, if you're ever a third grade Rebbe or you ever meet one, Parsha Samar, you have to teach them that Kohanim don't go to medical school, because by the time they took their... What do they call it? GMATs? What is it?
MCATs.
By the time they take their MCATs, then it's too late to tell them. Then they'll start pulling the marsh down.
Does anyone relate to, and a lot of things we talked about made very little sense to me in the idea of Taurus. These Kohanim's wives will go to the Bigatami Mace that day and then just come home and no one cares about that?
No, because they'll just make their husband a Rishon. Kohen's allowed to become a Rishon to a Mace. That's no big deal.
That's something we're totally...
That's not a big deal, not a big deal at all. I can go to a funeral and come back and give Zev the biggest hug in the world. Not a problem. Okay. Rav Gorin, who was very creative halachically, came up with a famous heter to let a kohen go to medical school. I don't know why you needed a heter to let a kohen go to medical school. No one knows why you needed a heter to let a kohen go to medical school. Why not just say no? I think there's the person who was there early after the MCAT and wouldn't take no for an answer. So Rav Gorin felt bad for them and said, I have a good idea. Ask someone who's been to a funeral to sell you their metal watch. You wear this watch all the time, and it's much harder going to be a time of the Kharav HaRikachol. We learned that. But now you're always touching a mace, because you're always touching the watch. So once you're always touching a mace, then we're not closest for the Rambam. You can rely on where we've shown him, and it's okay to touch another mace. Okay, the problem with that is that that's both having your cake and eating it too. We might have shach. If the watch counts as a mace, then he's not allowed to put it on in the first place, like Rabbeinu Tam. And if the watch doesn't count as a mace, then he's not already touching a mace. It's very creative. We're going to turn the Misha Amran, but like many of Rav Gorin's psakim, it was not accepted by mainstream Judaism. He will become Tomei,
right.
But it's a different kind of Tomei. It's not Tomei's mace, and therefore he's not Matami of Tomei's mace now. Okay, you want to defend Rav Gorin? Fine. Lemaisa, we don't paskin that way. Okay, Eli Eisenberg paskin that way. Fine. No, I'm joking. Don't worry. Be careful. Now he's not going to shidduch either. Because they can say that he paskin like the tzionim. Okay, what can I do? Halacha. Okay, back to we got to speed up a little. Halacha ches. Kohen shapir shav osim darkei tzibur kodem asoros ein matami lahem. This is regardless whether shuchu or dechuya. These people are considered Mufka from Gender of Krovin. They're my relatives, okay, but these people are so far away that they don't count as Krovin. If it's Dechuyah, we understand. I'm not Masabel for them. You're not Masabel for them. It doesn't have to be Docha. Even if it's Hutra, they lose the privilege of being called Krovin. So a Kohen whose fathers left the ways of the Tzibur and the Masoros, they were Masoros, right? They handed Jews in to the governmental authorities. Okay, even the governmental authorities that Rav Schechter would agree that you shouldn't hand them into, meaning when the governor authorities are just persecuting Jews, and they hand the Jews in, then they're a maser, and that's considered like a mumla kultar kula, ein matami lehem, v'lo l'ruge bezin, not for ruge bezun, v'lo l'mishim abidus v'l'das, someone could suicide, v'lo l'safik. So those first people are basically, if someone's a Russia who's mufka from Avelus, then he's mufka from Tonis Kohenim, the Kohen cannot attend his funeral, and tough luck on him. Okay, he shouldn't have been such a Russia. V'lo l'safik, what about if it's a safik relative? You're not sure if he's your relative or not. Then, that's not a penalty, just safik d'arayis l'chamra. What can you do? He can't be matami. V'lo l'safik, yon shenis abra v'lad v'lad chaverto, safik t'esuizim z'ayin l'achron. Either, two babies got mixed up in the hospital, we don't know which is the Cohen's brother, which isn't, or the one was married and remarried within 90 days, and we don't know if this is a full-term baby, the first husband, or a premature baby, the second husband, so we don't know who he's related to. Basically, if you're not sure if someone's your relative or not, then you have to be machmir and not go to their funeral. Here, there's a... discussion
There's some strange sheets in the Achronim, but we pass them just like shot on the Shulchan Aruch. Test. Ain't no common time of the Ivermin Aviv. A coin. Yeah.
We had a bunch of kulas for somebody who wasn't as Torah observant when it came to the Urusim.
Yes. Here it's hard to have those kulas. For Thomas Cohen, it's hard to have those kulas. Great question. A lot of real life situations could become very tricky.
It's harder to have these kulas for, look, the Chazanish is willing to be makel that nowadays everyone's taking Shanish, but even for ritual purposes. Even when it came to Shilohs of Lavin. He never told it to his Kohen. Let's say a non-from Jew who was brought up non-from with Shech nowadays, the Kohen, the Chazanish allowed to be a Shechita, could be Zachshashna, right in there. It's very not Pashat. Especially when we stretch to call someone a Tinuk Shanishva, wasn't their fault, etc. Maybe someone's a mamish Tinuk Shanishva. That's one thing. I don't know, they were brought up in Soviet Russia where the KGB didn't let anyone tell them there was such thing as a Torah. And if someone said a word of Hebrew, they were taught them Shema Yisrael, they would go to Siberia. So, okay. But nowadays, when we try to be very expansive about it, it's hard to be makel and Thomas Cohen because of that. But in real life situations, you have to pick your battles. But Me'ikar Adin, it's hard to be, we stretch to be nice to give someone honor, but it's hard to stretch to be nice for Thomas Kohenim, because it's Mamash Nishan Daraisa of Thomas Kohenim, if it's Perish Rav Osa Midarke Yatsiber, if the father's a Mummer.
Those are everything the line is with non-observance?
I think if someone's Mamash not from, then
It's hard to be Mako. Someone's mamish not from, it's hard to be Mako.
That means like a Kohen of Al-Shuva might have to skip his father's Levah. Or a priest's service.
I hear the Taina. All right, let's leave that Batsarki in for now. Okay, we'll come back to it. Test. Ain't no common time for the Ibrahim and Achaimi Aviv. A coin's only time for Aviv, Xerzakosiv. Only if the Av is Mamish, like the same, Mamish, the whole person. Okay, it's a little funny. I don't fully understand this Xerzakosiv. But it could be that the certain coin is a curva to the Av. He only has a curva to the whole Av, not to part of his body. Even though it's still a Xerzakosiv that I don't really claim to understand. Therefore, he's not Mitami to Ibrahim and Achaimi Aviv, Lola Etzme Atmos Aviv. Basically, part of his father's body he's not allowed to Mitami for. Chayim Malakanev. Some say Mitami Lam Aviv Shishri Kayemis. Likewise, he's not allowed to gather the bones of his father like they used to do in the old days, even if the whole skeleton is there, because the flesh is missing, so it's not a full person. Chaser Mimenu Kol Shehu. Afilu Murach Etzlein Mitami Lo. And if basically there's anything missing in the body, even if it's sitting next to the body, just not attached, then he can't be Mitami. So therefore, if you have a Kohen, let's say his relative was killed in a terrorist attack, a bombing or something, lo aleinu, and so not all the pieces of the body are intact, then he can't be Mitami for him, because he's not a Shalim. She'ein a Mitami elo l'shalim. V'yesh v'shetz, again, I don't pretend to fully understand this, there's a gossip, maybe you could say the Korva was to the Adam Shalim. And if it's not the Adam Shalim, that's not who he was Karov to. But it's still hard to understand. Okay, some say that that's only if at the time of death or after death, part of it, right, this is, the Rambam brings in my cloaks about this in the Russian Torah Paskin, only if after death something was missing, then he's not a shalim. But if his father, let's say he lost a finger while he was alive, that's his shalim father. This is the way he lived. He's the same person he was when he was alive, who he was karov to. So then it is mutter. Okay, this could come up all the time. I mean, there are a lot of people who are missing limbs when they are alive. Either they had something amputated, or, they lost a part of their body in an accident or something. So that could be a common thing. So what if... No, I mean, the father, I don't know, he had one leg, and he had one wooden leg while he was alive, and then he died. Can the Kohen be Mitami to him or not? So according to this Yesh Omrim, the Kohen can be Matami to him. The question is, do we pass like this Yesh Omrim? After all, it didn't say explicitly Yesh Omrim otherwise. Or no, this is only Yesh Omrim, it's not the main day, and we don't paskin like it. To this very day, the poskim argue whether we paskin like this or not. The Rav Moshe does not rely on this Yesh Omrim. Like if the Kohen's missing an actual limb. If the Kohen, they took out his tonsils or something, okay, that's not chaser. If he got a scratch, that's not chaser. But he's actually missing, like, a finger or a joint or something. The Chachmas Adam is make like this. The Gesher Chaim doesn't say explicitly, but seems to lean towards being Makel in the Shaila. And Lemaisa, I think most poskim, even though not everyone, but most poskim lean toward being Makel like this Yesh Misha Omer, because after all, it's the same person as when he was alive. And therefore, there is there is room to be Makel on the Shaila. Okay, there's also room to be Machmir, but Lemaisa, certainly if someone wants to go to Levaya, there's room to be Somech on this Yesh Misha Omer, because most poskim seem to agree with it. The Rama ends. There's this strange shita. Okay, the Achronim will debate where he gets that the Kavod Kohen that if someone was killed violently, then you're not matami them because they're called chaser. Anyone killed violently is called chaser. Not exactly what that means. Like, what if they're not chaser? I understand. Maybe they are, but what if they're not? What if they're killed and they're not chaser? So this is not 100% clear. The Rama seems to be machmir that anyone who was killed violently is a haloshem chaser. And if it's a haloshem chaser, then the Kohen can't be matame. Lemaisa, many are makel, the Aruch HaShulchan says, if he was killed with a sword or chasham with a bomb or with a bullet that it mamish took off a piece, then we're machmir like this Rama. But if someone was killed by, a sarfim so gruesome, by drowning or by suffocation or in a way that's not a physical blow to the body, the Aruch HaShulchan's Mekel, and he said, no, maybe the Chumer of Horeg is only when they were Horeg by actual penetration of some object into their body. Because then you could say that's a Haloshem is Chasri, and you don't see anything missing, it always, something sliced through their body. But if they were drowned, or they were suffocated to death, or they were poisoned, then the Aruch HaShulchan is Mekel, and therefore, Lemaisa, since we don't fully understand the Shita anyway, one could be Mekel if they were killed in a I don't know exactly what the proper phrase for it is.
Right.
They were killed without, if they were killed not through trauma to the body, but they were killed in some other way, then one could be Mekel, but if they were killed through trauma to the body, through a sword or a knife or a gun or a bomb or anything like that, then we are machmer like this Rabbah. Okay, this whole thing about chaser is a big chumrah. I'm not sure I understand the Tami mitzvahs behind it, but lemaisa, that's the halacha.
Hello. How does that fit with the Geshe HaChaim that we can make? I mean, let's say someone's killed in a certain way that is violent, but
no, that's when he dies. That doesn't count. Okay, Shinayin Dalet. The first three Se'ifim of Shinayin Dalet, you might notice, really belong with Shinayin Gimel. And then the rest really belong with the rest of the Chasavelos. So let's just finish up the parts that have to do with Shinayin Gimel. Mitzvah litamos lemeis mitzvah, afilu kohen gadol vin nazir v'holach lishkos pischav lomos no matz meis mitzvah v'im tamalo. It's a mitzvah for any Jew to be tamid or meis mitzvah. Meis mitzvah is someone who has no one else to bury him, and otherwise the body will be hefker and eaten by animals or etc. Even if not only kohen, even kohen gadol and nazir, and he's about to do a bris milah or karban pesach, and he's going to miss it. Doesn't matter, all these big mitzvahs and averos are nidcha bifnei meis mitzvah. Okay, not such a common thing nowadays, because as we mentioned earlier, nowadays the minhag is, if you find a meis mitzvah, to call the police, not to just bury him wherever he is, and, we see what's a meis mitzvah. If you call someone, now you can always call someone, we have cell phones, we have modern communications. So it's not a very common thing nowadays, but I do know someone who did it, it still could happen, right? I know someone whose son was fighting in Lebanon, and the Lebanon War, and unfortunately, the guy next to him was killed. And if he left the body in Lebanon, then that's, there would be hefker to the Hezbollah, and he wouldn't get a Jewish burial.
So therefore, the Kohen, no one else, everyone's 55 and more, so he took the carried the body all the way back to Israel to bury him, the Jewish burial. It was a very sad story, of course, but it was halacha l'maisa. That's the case of a meis mitzvah. That's pretty rare nowadays in civilian life. Again, please, if you find a body in the street, don't bury it. You will get arrested. But in weird, in crazy situations like that, in wartime, you could still have this halacha of meis mitzvah, even though it's pretty rare, and we hope it will be never happen. Bigs. And a nicker meis mitzvah in Zalim came matzah rosh v'rubo. It's a meis mitzvah is more mekel than relatives. You don't need the whole body, but you need rosh v'rubo. You need head and most of the body. Otherwise, not meis mitzvah. Because it's not a full mace. It's not an ikker mace. But if you find Moshe Verubo and one Aver someplace else, you can also go collect that Aver because you collect as much of the mace as you can. Again, unlike the halacha for relatives. So relatives, someone else will bury them. For mace mitzvah, there's no one else to bury them. If you just find one body part, that's not mace mitzvah. That's basar hamace. But if you find most of the mace in the head, then you collect every part you can. Yeah.
So is that saying you... Are you, like, waiting to bury everything until you get that last ear, or are you burying everything and then also that last piece?
I think it just depends if... however the timing works out.
Like, if you saw tomorrow that leg that you missed, would you do it again?
That's a... I hear your taina.
The shop says... We have a book that I read the shop and shop tomorrow. Although, actually, I don't remember.
No, we read the shop that said clearly don't do it the next day.
What do you mean? Even if you bury the whole body and then find another aver, you metamic for that aver.
Meaning tomorrow you would do that.
Yeah. If it happened to be you were there and no one else could do it tomorrow.
Yeah. But if you did bury someone, if you one day ran across the leg, you would not.
Correct. Correct.
If the coin was already tougher, like you'd already gotten part
even
of it.
Yeah, I think even if it's already tougher.
I think the shot says no.
Really? Aval im kvar. I mean, not no nafkamina nowadays.
Right.
Okay. I don't think he said either way. Okay. Gimel. He's omis mitzvah shematzol b'derech. There's funny pshatim in the Beis Yosef. We won't go into them now. Who's a meis mitzvah shematzol b'ir derech or b'ir shalakom ve'in lo kofer. Find him on the road or in a city of goyim and no one wants to bury him. The achronim argue very fascinatingly. What if the goyim are willing to bury him? Is that a meis mitzvah or like? Because you want a Jew to bury him, or should you let the Goyim bury him? Right? Fascinating, fascinating machlokes. The Gesher Achayim, the end of Perek Vav, and other Achronim say, even if the Goyim are nice and willing to bury him, he's still a Meis Mitzvah. Because the Bizoyan Meis to be buried by Goyim.
If it even like a full proper Jewish burial.
I mean,
in a Jewish cemetery, I'd like assume that they like not. With
you mean what if they bury him in a goyish?
Like, here's all they come. I just thought meant like they bury him.
No, they bury him in Stam. What cemetery? We're talking about you bury him where he is. So, in order to give him a Jewish burial and have a Jew bury him,
I mean, they bury him wherever he is.
You're saying what if the goyim will bring? Street. What if the goyim will bring him to the Chevet Kadisha?
No, I thought it meant like they bury him in the goyish cemetery. Here's all they come.
Yeah, or just in a plot in the middle of a goyish town. Right? What if they'll give him to the Chevet Kadisha? The goyim will bring him to the Chevet Kadisha. Pashtos, yeah, that's not a meis mitzvah.
We've been speaking about times where you might want goyim to be doing the burial.
Correct, like on the...
Right? So it can't be as simple as just like, it's a horrible thing we're going to do.
Right. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Says the Gesher Chaim on this. I'll see the way he formulates it. He says... Yeah, it's interesting. He just says that in Matzah Lekovrim Nachrim Bechinam Mashmal also Poshim Shochanos Koman Sheinlo Kovrim Yisrael My Rebbe Chol Meis Mitzvah. Okay, I hear your taina again. Maybe there's a I hear your taina. Okay, good question. We'll leave that Sarki for now. We have to move on. Any Ochalukus Shol Sheinovi Yovel Atapol Vilakovro. If he's so far away that you can't shout at the top of your lungs and you still can't reach any Jews who will come bury him. Also, the laws Mishal Neich Zayisafil Leifli Ir Lahavi Kovrim. You're not allowed to leave him alone, even to just go to the city and bring Kovrim, because maybe something happened to him. Meanwhile, Eli Tami Lo Vikrenu. The coin should be time for him bury him. If there are Jews close by that you could shout and they'll come, or call on your cell phone and they'll come. They would bottom the cover and they would come bury him. Ainzo makes a mitzvah shnei melo kohen. Then it's not a mitzvah. It's right. You should call the Yisraelim. Elo kori samim kovrim. Pa opening erim. You should call tzarka moshe yado. And if the townspeople came and there were enough people to have the funeral, we pass enough people to have the funeral just means enough people to carry and bury
physically, then the Kohen doesn't get involved. What if you find people, they're only willing to do it if you pay them? Interesting question. So the Kohen have to pay them, or can he call this a mace mitzvah? So the Yesh Omrim, and the Poskim assume, this is called a mace mitzvah. After all, it's not the Kohen's responsibility, it's not his father, he doesn't have to pay. Once he doesn't have to pay, then there's no one willing to bury him. There's no one willing to bury him, it's a mace mitzvah. Okay, this is the general principle of Shlomo Zalman writes in a few places, even though you're not allowed to do an avir for money. But if you don't have to pay for something and no one's willing to do it for free, then you're allowed to consider a mace mitzvah, pikuach nefesh, etc.
Would a rich person therefore
if someone's
to do it?
Someone's dying and needs to go to the hospital on Shabbos, right? And you have a goyish neighbor, and the goyish neighbor says, "Sure, I'll drive him to the hospital for you for $500." And now the person who's sick has to pay the $500, but person who's sick doesn't have $500, right? You don't have to pay the $500, or someone says you can drive him to the hospital, because once you don't have to pay, then it's because that fashion is no other option. Okay, but that's, we're not getting into that now.
Oh, do not. Don't
worry. Yeah, because that ain't the dover self. We need to learn. Okay, and lastly, Mason into lo yedinim overcoming Yisrael who has lina basar ruba. If you find a dead guy, you don't know if he's a Jew or a guy. As lina basar ruba and some sham. Then we go by the rove people who are there. Interestingly, anyone remember the second paragraph of Basra? We don't go by Karov. We don't go by what's the nearest city. We go by the most people who pass through here. So if like there's two cities, one is a small city of Jews 1 mile away. It's a big city of going 2 miles away. We go by the big city of going 2 miles away. We go by Rove, not Karov. That's the second paragraph of Basra. As long as it's not a situation of Kabuk Metzal Metzal, then it would be Metzal Metzal, and the Kohen would have 50-50 suffering and not be Metami. Okay, we're not going to go through the rules of Kavua now. Dalit, now we start Helchus Avelos. Remember the seven Krovim? The Avelos is learned from Thomas Kohen, the same, that's why the Rambam has a big Raya. How does the Rambam know that the reason why Thomas, where does Rambam get the idea, the reason why there's Thomas Kohen is because the Chiyav Mitzvah Avelos, because the same relatives you have Avelos for are the same relatives of the Kohen. So the Rambam says it can't be coincidence, must be the same thing. You could also say it's not coincidence, they're just two different halachas that have to do with close relatives. But that's the Rambam. Okay, now they added, Odo Sifolei Midra Banan, they added. What did they add? Your maternal half brother and your maternal half sister, whether married or single, and your paternal sister, if she is beulah or nesua, etc. Basically, they added all brothers and sisters. Midoraisa, it's only the brother from the father and the sister from the father who's a besula. They added all brothers and sisters. Midrabanan, we're misavil on all brothers and sisters. And this is just filling in. They also added a husband, right? There can't be a heter of Thomas Kohanim for a husband because women aren't usher and Tum in the first place. But just like the heter of Thomas Kohanim, basically they said spouse. Just like Kohanim Tamim for his wife, Kohanim was Abel for his wife, and the wife was Abel for her husband. That makes perfect sense. What kind of spouse has Avelos? Only two conditions. They're shared, they're mutter to be married. If they're usher to be married, that's considered an improper relationship, and it's not. And there's no chiva velos because you're supposed to get divorced. If you're supposed to get divorced every second, then you can't say, now you have a relationship, you have a velos, and if it's only erisin, which we don't have nowadays, 1 second, they're not close yet, there's no velos. But your other relatives, children, and siblings, even if they're puzzle, mabzerim, and everything else, you're misabalim, except, of course, if they're your relatives and they were born from a shifka or a non-Jewish woman, because then they're not really related to you.
What do we say about aninos by the ones that they're
abadanhead? We say there's aninos even by the ones who are abadanhead. Yes, yes. There's a big discussion here. Two very important discussions here about wives. Number one, Rabbi Kiva Eger brings in here a big machlok zachron, it's also the Pesach Tshuva. What about a shomer's yavam? Remember in the last time we said the coin of the Tamir for Shemeres Yavam? So, is he misabel for Shemeres Yavam? Right? Let's say someone's brother died without kids, they're supposed to marry their sister-in-law, and they didn't yet. Right? So, if they already did Yavam, of course, that's a wife. If they already did Chalitza, so they're not related. Shemeres Yavam, they're waiting. So, It's a big machlos achronim whether or not there's avelos for shemers yavam. We're not getting into the svaras. Halachal ma'aser Avadya writes, or it's quoted in the Yalkut Yosef and avelos, as saying that minhag eretz Yisrael is that there's no avelos for shemers yavam, especially since nowadays bein Ashkenazim, well, he has machlos at Sfardim, but certainly for us Ashkenazim and most Sfardim nowadays, who say it's also through yivam anyway, right? And therefore, the minhag nowadays there's no avelos for a shemers yavam. That's pretty well established.
Israel,
what?
Does it happen often enough?
Hmm?
Does it happen enough times that we have a minhag established?
Yeah, when there's wars, unfortunately, it happens a lot. In Vietnam, it happened all the time.
Every younger sibling would be considered. Okay.
Right, I mean, you look, normally we hope, right? Meaning nowadays it's pretty rare to have chalitza, because people don't usually die without kids, because Baruch Hashem, they don't die young so much. By the time they're old, often they have kids, because with a lot of advances in fertility medicine, you know, we help them have kids. But in war times, in Vietnam, there are chalitzas all the time in America, because who goes out to war? Often the age of just married without kids yet goes out to war, right? That's a common age for the draft. And then, unfortunately, people die in war. So, you know, in Melchemet Hatzma'ut and, you know, Melchemet Yom Kippurim, etc., there are a lot of casualties, and there was, unfortunately, this situation came up a lot. And even nowadays it comes up once in a blue moon. Because people still die young.
Every time that happened, that would mean that the younger brother would have that question. Or the...
The avelos would be only if the Shomer's Yavam then died.
So meaning...
Meaning someone's brother died, and then the brother's widow died before they did chalitza.
Yeah.
So which is that's pretty rare.
Yeah, that's pretty rare.
Because, like, usually we do chalitza 3 months later pretty quickly.
What if both brothers died?
Or what if both brothers die? Then would the wife be misavel? But meaning her husband died first and her brother-in-law died second.
Right.
Which again is pretty rare. Both brothers could die, but it could be two brothers were killed in terrorist attack, and one expired first, the other expired second. Would the widow? She's misavel anyway. Okay, whatever. Yeah, but weird case. Okay, fine. Anyway, Lamaisa, the minig nowadays is not to misavel for shemers yavam. Machlok is achronim. The minig is not to. Okay, fine.
Not like a
vikiv thing. Not like Rabbi Kiva Eger exactly. The minhag is against Rabbi Kiva Eger, not to be misabel on a Shomeris Yavam, against Rabbi Kiva Eger, precisely. You want to know just Perach Mate Aron Nechba Bekesef, quoted in the Pesach Tshuva, and like there's a Yad Avraham here on the side, like against a whole Rabbi Kiva Eger and the someone else quoted in the Pesach Tshuva, Masas Moshe and the Gilyan Arsha. It's a pretty even machlokes. There's 100 achronim on each side. Why so we don't? The very sensitive issue is this Rabbi Kiva Eger of Dibramasul Nesua. This is based on a Rashbam and Baba Basra who said this case happened. The guy decided to divorce his wife, and then all of a sudden she dropped dead. They said, okay. It's a big machlokes to show them what this means. Where Rashbam says this means he decided to divorce his wife and all of a sudden she dropped dead. He says he doesn't inherit her. He's not considered to be on the level of Nisuin anymore for closeness. And therefore he doesn't get Yerusha and he's not a Ninus and no Toma and, you know, therefore there'd be no Avelos. Seems to be pretty mefurish in Rashbam and Bav Basra. That there's no Avelos if he decided to divorce her. The Yamshel Shlomo brings Paskins La'alacha like that Rashbam. There are two tremendous chidushim in this Yamshel Shlomo. Quoting Rabbi Kiva Eger, one that we hold like the Rashbam. After all, the Rashbam's only one opinion. There are like eight pshatim or something that we showed him there about Basra. It's a very complicated story. And I don't know if I remember the story, right? The guy, he heard that his wife couldn't smell and he wanted to test her and he brought her in a certain chatzar. Hey, maybe it was a suffix, whether it was a chatzar of Nisuin, maybe it was a million different pshatim in that sugya. Hey, he passed like the Rashbam, that once he decided to divorce her, that's mafia the korva. It's not so crazy in common sense. If I was the wife and you decided to divorce me, I wouldn't feel very close. But the one that we pass like the Rashbam, and of course the only reason we pass like the Rashbam is because halach divrei meikel ba'avel, so even if it's machlok, we should know how to make it. And number two, that he passed like the Rashbam is manazeh. Well, that's what a lot of achronim argue about. After all, in the time of the Gemara, why did it make sense that if he decided to divorce her, they would be considered not karov? Because he could just do it. Nowadays, who cares if he decided to divorce her? She didn't necessarily agree, and he can't divorce her against her will. Like, Tainef, if they both decided. But if only he decided, who says that has any significance? It's tough luck on him. He's stuck. Okay, Lemaisa, this is a big machlokes ad hayom hazeh, whether we hold like this Yamshel Shlomo, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, or we don't. This is a tremendous, tremendous machlokes. Again, some say maybe we shouldn't rely on the Rashbam, he's only a Das Yachid. And some say, yeah, we should rely on the Rashbam if they both agree to divorce. But if only the husband agreed, nowadays that's meaningless. It's tough luck on him.
Not really meaningless. It just means that we don't practically do it, but he could divorce her against her will, can't he? Isn't that just the hair?
Okay, so that's the question. Theoretically, he could. Of course, practically, he can't.
But no, I just clarify, I mean, that there's more strength.
The divorce is still chal b'dievet. The divorce would still be chal b'dievet. Okay, so this is a big machlokas. This comes up a lot nowadays. You have people who are separated or who are, you know, in court, etc., and one of them dies. You can imagine this is a very sensitive issue emotionally. Lemaisa, if they both agreed to get divorced, and they were just, you know, waiting for their appointment at the Beis Din, you know, everything was signed and sealed. But whatever, you know, there's a certain bureaucracy, and it drags on, and one of them died, then we can make a like this, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and say, okay, we can apply the Rashbam here. The korva was mufka by the decision to get divorced. It gets trickier. What if one of them wanted to get divorced, and the other one didn't? Right? And especially sometimes you have these Arguna cases, etc. So what if one decided to get divorced, the other one didn't? And, you know, they're mamish separated. Sometimes they can be separated for 20 years, right? And not divorced yet. So this gets very complicated. And Lemaisa, often you have these cases where there's a lot of sensitivity where, you know, a woman, you know, she's hasn't seen her husband in 20 years. And he refused to give her a get. And then he dies. So, okay, so there's a relative. She has to sit Shiva for him. And, you know, it's very, it would be very difficult for him to sit, for her to sit Shiva for him. Then we can be Somech on, even though this is a further extension, as Chesky pointed out. Because Tain has to say we can apply Bizman Azeh if the husband signs a divorce, because theoretically he could theoretically divorce her against her will, the wife. No generation could do that. Lemaisa, though, there's room to be made if you have a case of, you know, of where people were really had mafkia, the relationship, and there's a lot of bad blood, and there's a lot of baggage, and one of them wanted to get divorced, and the other one didn't. There's what to be summoned on this where you can anger and not be misavel, you know, in a case where it's really not possible for someone to sit Shiva. So this is an important mucker to know. Even though it's controversial. It's controversial, first of all, not everyone agrees the Rashbam is right. And not everyone agrees the Rashbam applies to Zman Ezecher and Dereda Gershom. Okay, but the Yamshel Shlomo Rabbi Akiva Eiger quoted. And then, if you want to extend that to where the wife wants to get divorced and the husband didn't, where she's a guna, then that's even more controversial. But Lemaisa, sometimes you need to be someich on this.
If she's willing to sit Shiva, but like, you know what Matthias says, that she's going to like, you know, sit, she's going to like, do all the, you know, halachos, and sit on the floor and like, you know, her friends are going to come over and going to like, laugh about how happy they are that the guy's dead. Is that like...
I don't know. You have to use your common sense in these cases. I can't discuss every, you know. Okay. Anyway, it's important to know. This is a very, very important psak to rely on when necessary.
Is it about being a proper amelus or just that, like, really too hard to do? Like, I mean, like, which way? Like, she can throw the floor with her shoes off.
No, but I mean, like, in most cases, like, she can't. Are you kidding? Like, I mean, like, she hates this guy. She's hated him for 20 years. So she's going to be Sava? She's throwing a kiddush.
Right, so she won't. Right.
So Mela will compromise that she won't throw a kiddush. Okay, the Seder. So this meaning, unfortunately, this Shaila, you know, comes up a lot, and you have these people who've been estranged for 30 years or whatever, and then all of a sudden he dies, and, you know, it's just not possible for her to sit Shiva for him. So therefore, there's lots to rely on.
Disregard,
right, so another tzad is sometimes you could say is a Russia, etc. But that gets a little tricky, you know. People do every Aveira in the Torah, and, you know, we find all kinds of ways to be matzdik, etc. And all of a sudden, sometimes maybe he's a Russia for a million things, but, you know, it's, okay, this is a very sensitive issue, but, you know, it's tricky, even though, even if someone's wrong, you know, it's you know, I feel very comfortable saying that, you know, in 99.9% of the cousins who refuse to give the wife a get, he's dead wrong. Right? He's dead wrong, and he's really doing something wrong in Aveira. But then you have to move on and compare it to all the cases in the Gemara. There are cases in the Gemara, lots of people did lots of Aviras, and they're not considered puzzle because they had they were a Malamed Heter for themselves. They had a Svara on why they thought it was okay. I think it's tricky. They all have a Svara and think it's okay. I mean, suddenly there are super evil people out there who did unspeakably bad things. I know, but saying in most of these cases, it's hard to say that he's mamish, a mummer, and porsh midarki tzibur, you know, just because he didn't give his wife a get. Even if he's wrong, and my sympathies are with her, and more than sympathies, my logic is with her, okay, he usually has as good of a Svara as a lot of other people who Chazal make excuses for. Now, if he happens to have left the religion entirely, then that's a very big tzad l'hakel. You know, if he's not just even want to give his wife a get because, you know, like happens sometimes, you have modern Orthodox husbands who don't want to give their wife a get, and all the modern Orthodox rabbis say they should, so all of a sudden they become, you know, Hasidish, so they can find a Dayan who says that they're right. But often you have cases where the guy just goes off to Derech Legamri. So if the guy went off to Derech Legamri, and that's a big tzad l'hakel. Okay, that's an even bigger tzad l'hakel. If the guy's off to Derech Legamri, I have precedent from, you know, many cases where I've seen Rabbanim who I respect, where if you have a case of a guy who's mamish not from Legamri, you know, off to Derech Legamri, you know, 100%, like, disconnected, and he's really, like, there's no family relationship there, and it would be very strange to shiver for him because either you hate him or you love to do with him, etc. And there's room to be made there also based on that side. You know, if they're mamish disconnected. I don't mean if they're, you know, not so makbid, or if they, you know, they drive to Shulman Shabbos because that's what the rabbi told them to. And if they're mamish not connected, then that's a big tzad l'hakel. Even though, if they were mamish, you know, we normally say tina shenishba, etc., that's a big tzad l'hakel. But often in these cases, I've seen in the modern Orthodox community, I don't know what it's like in other communities, is that often when a guy doesn't want to give his wife a get, he dafka becomes, at least on the outside, more from, quote-unquote, because, you know, then he'll either he'll get more sympathy because he'll find the right people in the right belt to have a different hashkafa of that marriage, or he'll just get more sympathy because he'll find people who don't know any of the story and the background behind it, and he'll be able to sell them, you know, to sell them a whole story. It's much easier to get sympathy with people who don't know where you're coming from, and therefore you can tell them whatever you want.
If a beastin has a seer of ale against him, shouldn't that be a big tzad
l'hakel? Not so pashut. Not so pashut. But remember, when you have a seer for ben adam l'chavero, then once the person dies, he's potter, and we do give him honors, right? We learned that already.
Right.
Okay, viker. anyway, but these are very sensitive things. Okay, this is, you know, when it comes down to it, you'll have to figure it. It's complicated. Hager is guy who one of Eved Nishtacher who ve'imo Amos Amos Elzeh. Hager is this guy with his sons, or an Eved Nishtacher with his mother. Right, what's the rule? Gershon is Geyer, who had an Eved Nishtacher is? Katina Chinola dummy, and therefore they're not related, and there's no Avelos. Interestingly, they leave, it's an interesting lack of parallelism. What about a ger with his mother? Here we have a ger with his father. Who? Uvah. What about the ger with his mother? So, this is Machlokes Rishonim. Right, the Mordechai says that, no, but a ger with his mother is more chamer. Why? Because Evan and Luchayas, while there are avodim, there was no relationship. And therefore, there's no need to be gozer with rabbanim in a relationship when they are freed. Ger is very goy, very complicated. In some areas, all of the goy is related to his father. In some areas, but let's assume for our purposes, the goy only has these chiyuvim in relationship to his mother, not his father. When he was a goy, he was related to his mother. So maybe in Rabbanu, when he converts, he should still be related to his mother. Because after all, we don't want to look bad or avoid confusion without getting into the sugya. So the Mordechai says we're gozer with a ger, not an eved, because an eved was never related in the first place. Not a guy and his father; they were never related in the first place, luckily. But the ger and his mother were gozer with Yerubanim. But that was because he was holding like the day of the Avelos is Doraisa. So therefore, we have to make it zero. We Paskin Ashkenazim, at least,
then Avelis is Drabbanan. If Avelis is Drabbanan, then there's no need to make a Gzera. And that's why the Ramah adds, who didn't Gersh is Garim Imo, Imus Abel Lehem, even a Ger with his mother, you might have thought to make a Gzera Drabbanan, that whoever was related before they converted, me Drabbanan, which goes in and related after they're converted. No, since Avelis is Drabbanan, we don't need to make Gzeras, and Halakha L'maisa, they don't. Okay, what do they really do? We'll get to soon. Call me Vav. Call me Shabbos Abel Lomas Abel Imo in Mace Lo Mace. The Dav Kabot of Afanam. This is what the Gemara says. Whoever is related to you that you would mourn for them, you Ms. Abel with them if their relative dies. The Dav Kabot of Afanam. Only in their presence. Well, Shalom Afanam Yisrael Linu Gavelos. But not in their presence, not. So if someone's grandfather dies, they have to be Ms. Abel when they're with their father. But not if they're by themselves. And their uncle dies, they have to resolve when they're with their mother or father, etc., etc. Now, does this apply to all relatives? No, chutz me ishto, not your wife's relatives. Sha'afishim sabal aleha, ain't masabal ima, even though a husband's not for his wife, he's not masabal for his wife's relatives. He's only masabal for his father and father-in-law, not for his wife's son from a previous marriage, not for his wife's daughter, not for his wife's brother, not for his wife's sister, but for his father-in-law and mother-in-law, because we know there's a chiyav. Maybe Drabbanan, but of Kibbutz Av, where Marbe, even the covenant of your father-in-law or mother-in-law, very important for all the married people here, when they're alive, I may have Esrim, Avalachiv, Achosov, Nabit, Meshacher, Enam, Zavalimba, Omikomakom. So the husband doesn't have to do anything if his wife's other relative passed away. But Enyoch Lekovel is Kashi. He can't force her to dress up. Because after all, she's an Avelos, Avalichol, Lizmuzor, Kos, Lazi, Lomit, of Lokos, Honey, Goraga, but she can still do three Malachas for him, even though they have a little Chiba. Right, Mizigos Hakos and Hatzasamita Merchitz Bona Yodav Ragla. We'll come back to this. Chain he and Mizvel Zimol Shemeshacham Yochamos. So this is egalitarian. If the husband's relative passes away, it's Machol Shudon. We paskin. She doesn't have to miss Abel unless it's her father-in-law or mother-in-law because she has to be a chabed them. While Sharkov Shemeshu Einam Misabeles Imo. Okay, there'll be other. Let's just skip the Ramah and go to the next. Machaber Einam Abel Makolim Shnabelum Elup Shnabelum Korvadish Era. You're only miss Abel this two-step. If it's blood relatives, meaning your blood relative's blood relative. Kegon, b'no ve'achim shem sabel ben u'bashalehem. Like someone's son died, or someone's brother's son, v'lo kurvet kedushin shalehem, kosh meis eishes b'no eishes achim, o baal bito baal achosu, enim esabalehem. But their relatives through marriage, like someone's son's wife, or daughter's husband, or brother's wife, or sister's husband, brother-in-law, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, sister-in-law. Then he doesn't have to be Miss Abel. And the Piskei Tshuva brings down at Simchat and Gimel, there's one exception. The exception is someone's mother's husband or father's wife, because we're also Marbin, there's Kavod for stepmother or stepfather. So basically, only if here is the mace, and here is the first step, and here is the second step. First step, second step. All right, let's do this better. If here is the mace, very, very simple to learn, the din of the Gemara, alpi the Rishonim, which will not be relevant, if the mace has a blood relative or a spouse, is Miss Abel, the spouse is not. Well, you can't have the mace's spouse's spouse. That's not possible. I mean, it was in the old days, but not nowadays. So, right, this is Ayinus Abel, someone's Abel for his blood relative's blood relative, but not for their spouse's blood relative. This is Se'if. I'm doing a little backwards order. I hope I didn't confuse it. This is Se'if Zion, except.
There are also spouses of non-blood relatives, meaning like a spouse's brother's wife or something.
Right? No, that's three steps. Forget that. That's no Havimina.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the exception, except for the Chomiv V'chamoso. And here, except Eishes Aviv U Baal Imo, because then you have covered. Okay, that's the din of the Gemara. What does that have to do with us? Read the Ramah. And there's a very long shocker which we're not going to get into.
Says the Rabbi Yish, Omer Da'a Idna Nogin L'Hakel Ba'Avelo Sheshlam Z'Ablin Mo, the Ein Z'El Mishum Kavod Mis'Ablin. Nowadays we're Mekel. Why are we Mekel? Because this is not a direct Chiyuv Avelos, only for the cover of the middleman. If someone's grandson dies, they, or grandfather dies, right, better, lesser fall, right? I mean, that's, everyone's grandfather's going to die at some point, until Chiyuv HaMesim, hopefully before then. Someone's grandfather died, it's not their chayv for their grandfather, said Shiva. They're just chayv for their father to commiserate. And therefore, it's only for the cover of the middleman. Nowadays, everyone's mochel. And therefore, you don't have to. Right? Meaning, if it was for the cover of the dead person, he can't be mochel, he's dead. But since it's for the cover of the live person, it's in Shiva, nowadays they're mochel. If they're mochel, you don't have to. Not only that, anyone who's machmer is min hamatmim, is doing something strange and unacceptable. Here, the Shach asks, we're going to see at the end of the Sif, that you're allowed to be misabel for someone who you're not related to at all. Anyone's allowed to be misabel for anyone. So why is it masmi? Say you're potter. Why is it bad to do this? So here there are two opinions. The Shach says, it's bad to do this. You're allowed to be misabel legamre for a stranger. But if you do it only in front of some people and not the rest of the time, then it looks like a joke. And that is what's, it's like lowing, it's like making fun. So basically we say, now we shouldn't do it, it's like being fun. Why is it like being fun? Either Shach says, I'm only misabel when you're looking, not when you're not looking. Then it's like I'm pulling a trick on you. Again, in the days of the Gemara, that was the din. But nowadays, that people don't want you to do that. If I do it, it's like being fun. Ha ha, I'm misabel when you can see me, but when you can't see me, I'm partying. Okay, that's inappropriate. The Ber Heitev quotes on his own, a different shot. He says, no. He says, it's much more misabel for someone else. That's when you're not a kurov, you're just showing respect for someone, but you're not intruding on someone else's intimacy. But when krovim are sitting and I sit with them, that's like being fun. It's like intruding on them, like saying, I'm as close as you are, when I'm not as close as you are. Everyone knows when someone dies, like someone else like acts closer to the mace than they really are, it's like awkward and a little insulting. It's like, who are you to like think you're so as close as I am? You're not as close as I am. You don't understand how close I was in my suffering. So therefore, he says, no, if some a stranger I decide to show mourning for, everyone knows I'm not like acting like one of the Avelim. I'm not competing with the Avelim. But if I compete with the Avelim, that is making fun. So we have two pshat and why. It's not only why you putter, it's two steps. The reason for the ptur is mechila. But why is it usser? Minasmi means usser. So it's because of loeg la'avel. Why is it loeg la'avel? Why is it making fun of the avel? Either when only befunov, says the Shach, that's making fun. You're not allowed to sit shiv in front of them and not when they're not looking. That's making fun. Or says the Ber Heitev, when you pretend to be one of the avelim. If I could do it in a way that wouldn't pretend to be like you, that would be fun. But if I say, I'm as close to Sava as you are. No, that's not true. He's much closer than you are. And therefore, it's not respectful to pretend to be just as close.
Do we have a hakara between these two shikus?
No, I think both things are inappropriate. Meaning, Lamaisa, we don't do either of them. Meaning, we don't, or we'll get to it in a second. We would not do avelos only when someone's looking, not when they're not. Even though if you look at the sales, you show the other shikas. And also, you wouldn't pretend to be like one of the avelim when you're really not so close.
But like Lamaisa, like a grandchild that was raised by the grandparents, you wouldn't let them sit shiva.
So it's a good question. Halacha Lamaisa? Halacha Lamaisa? I mean, look, I know people like that. These cases do happen. Halacha Lamaisa? Let's get back to it. Halacha Lamaisa? I think that if like the people really didn't mind at all, then we would not be makbid on the Ber Heitev. Like if it was clear that it was okay with all the avelim, we wouldn't be makbid on the Ber Heitev when push comes to shove. Okay, well, let's come back to that. Let's just finish the Ramah. However, we call makam nagdu the minig Ashkenaz. Shekol krovei hameis hapsum ol eidus. Krovin, nothing to do with the getter before. A new getter, whoever's close enough to be possible eidus. Okay, ayin choshe mishpat who's possible eidus. Meaning even cousins. Who clearly were never a half a mean until now because they were three steps removed. Chesky. Even any psule edos, marim ktsas avelos v'asim kol shor rishona. They show a little avelos themselves the whole first week. First week means not 7 days, meaning until Shabbos, which could be 1 day, 2 days, however many days.
And they don't change some of their clothing from weekday clothing to Shabbos clothing, like on a regular Shabbos. I mean, they don't bathe and they don't wear full Shabbos clothes. There's a big amount of cloaks we don't get into. And the Bach is quoted here as saying they don't go to parties. Okay, some people have more makor, but this is the Iker min Hagashmi. It's closer to Shmur Krova, or Shai Itzal Misavol. Shmur Choka, in Lavil Zogu Kval. This is all for Shmur Krova, or meaning they heard within 30 days, there's a full Shiva, or they were there at time Misa. Shmur Choka, after 30 days, when there's only a Vilish for one day, there's no makor for this. Now, there's a lot of detailed big makor, you saw the Masas Ben Yamin in the Shach, exactly what's the right min Hagashmi for this. So I just want to point out two things. Number one, a fascinating Kakira in the Pischei Tshuva. So cut and dalit. Is the minig Ashkenaz for the covet of the Niftar or for the covet of the other Krovim? Nafkamina, do the Psula Eidos, who are not with the relative sitting Shiva, have to do this or not? Is it like the Dina de Gemara? Like the cousins have to not bathe only if they're with their uncle who's sitting Shiva? Or no, even if they're in Oklahoma and the Shiva's in Paris, they still have to keep this. Okay, that's a hakir, it's machlokas achronim pesach chusuk and dalid between the Adni Paz and the Pesach Tshuva himself. The Adni Paz says it's only for the Avelim, like the Dina de Gemara. The Pesach Tshuva himself says no, it's direct. Halacha l'maisa, what do we do? Here it gets very tricky. There's a few things that help us avail us that are very tricky. Almost all the modern-day Sfarim quote this minhag of the Ramah. In general, the Sfarim are very reluctant to like not quote minhagim of the Ramah, because like, you know, how can you go against the minhag Ashkenaz of the Ramah? However, wherever I've been, I've not seen people keep any minhag. I've not seen the second or third or fourth degree relatives keep anything nowadays. In the Sefer Bnei Baruch, in Perek Tes, a footnote, Chaf Vav, he says, I don't know who all these people are, I'm sure that I should, that Rav Yaakov Zalesnik once had this case, and asked the Gra Ra'im, I'm not sure who that is either, and Rav Sifasa Frank, who I don't know who that is, right, the Rav Yerushalayim, and he said that, that's not our minhag. We don't do any of this nowadays. And then he said, he wasn't sure. Maybe that's only in Israel. Maybe in America we do. Who knows? Maybe in Europe we do. But lemaisa, I think Rav Tzvi Pesach Fink is right. There's a lot of minhagim in the Ramav minhag Ashkenaz that we don't do nowadays. So all this far bring them down anyway. But lemaisa, we don't do them. And, you know, it's hard to say something's a minhag if no one does it. So if someone wants to be machra like this Ramah, great, wonderful. I'm not against it. But I think the real minhag is that we don't do anything nowadays for second-degree relatives. The second-degree relatives just act, yeah, I mean, they're menachem. Obviously, we have nicham aveilim towards the first-degree relatives, just like anyone else who's close to them. But they don't do any aveilus nowadays, and I think the real minhag is that we don't do any aveilus nowadays, like Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank reported. In a ma'aseh shehaya, you know, he just said, he paskin. Right, the guy went, Reb Zalesnik, where he was to ask him, what should he do? His second-degree relative passed away. Should he do, well, obviously not like the Machaber, that's Minah Matamiyah, but should he do like the Ramah? He said, no, we don't do this nowadays. Okay, so nowadays we don't do this. Why? I don't know. That's a question for historians. You know, but it doesn't seem to be our minhag anymore. Lastly, Mishiros l'hakmar las was abel al mishenu tzaret. Someone wants to be this abel and someone who he's putter from. Olivo shcharmel provor, to wear black clothing. Remember, in old movies, they would wear black for mourning? I haven't seen people do that nowadays. But Eimoch v'yado, you don't object. Meaning, someone's allowed to sit Shiva, someone's allowed to be Mis'abel even when they're Pater Lagamri. They're allowed to be Mis'abel even when they're Pater Lagamri. Didn't we just say Minah Matmiyan? No, they're not allowed to be Mis'abel only when someone's looking. They have to do what they do consistently. And they're not allowed to pretend to be like the Avelim, at least when it would insult the Avelim. But just stop to do some avelus and someone you're not kind of in, you are perfectly allowed to. Now, not so pashut, says the Pesach Tshuva, the name of the Besamim Rosh.
says, no, you're not allowed to change the halacha. You're not allowed to do all of Hilchos Avelos. You're allowed to do some Avelos, but not all of Hilchos Avelos, because then it's going against the halacha when you're potter. Now, the truth of some Rosh is, seems to be a forgery, according to most Achronim. So I don't know how much of a kosher for it, but Rabbi Kiva Eger ends up with the same thing as the truth from Rosh for a different reason. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, you can be machmer to be misabel for someone else, but you can't be nako, meaning you can be misabel. You don't want to wash? Don't wash! You want to sit on the floor? Sit on the floor. You don't want to wear shoes? Don't wear shoes. You don't want to go to parties? Don't go to parties. But you can't be misbatel from learning Torah. What right do you have to be misbatel Torah? And you can't be misbatel from chiyuv ona, meaning you don't want to sleep with your wife? Don't sleep with your wife. There's no chiyuv ona. But let's say it's mikvanayim, there's chiyuv ona. So therefore, Senator Geiger, yeah, you can keep avelos, but you still have to learn Torah and be mikayim ona when necessary. So the mindset, if you keep Rabbi Geiger, you end up keeping the Torah Rosh also. Do avelos, but still do be yisabay yomam v'layla, have however much learning Torah is in your lifestyle. Right? And therefore, halacha l'maisa, we would be machmer for this Rabbi Kiva Eger. The person shouldn't be misbatel gamri from Torah if they're sitting Shiva optionally. That way they're also yotzei the Besamim Rosh, even though, I don't know, but they have to be yotzei the Besamim Rosh. L'maisa, nowadays, this comes up a lot. It comes up sometimes, it mostly comes up, some like your Rebbe people do, like they grow a beard or something. Recently, Rav Schechter even grew a beard after the Rav passed away and he kept it, even though his whole life he was clean shaven.
Recently,
1993. I understand. No, but that's not when I grew up. Jeff was always clean shaven. He always make jokes about being clean shaven. Like, he would say, you know, like big rabbis with beards, which is not a funny joke for him to say anymore, right? So at the time, it was one of his best jokes. You know, real rabbis with beards. Anyway, so, but because usually this comes up, though, when it comes to adopted kids and gayrim, etc. A guy who's gayrim with his kids, the kids still want to sit shiva for him, even though they're not technically related. Or a guy's a doctor, when he's a baby by someone, he still wants to sit shiva. Or even nowadays, if someone converted, but their parents were very supportive of them and their whole life were with them, etc., they still want to sit shiva. Even though the parents are going, they want to sit shiva. So, in these cases, the minhag is that, A, you're allowed to sit shiva, even though you're not technically chayav. Okay, so you learn a little Torah. You know, so you won't violate Rabbi Kiva either. But lemaisa, we assume that they're allowed to sit shiva. Not only that, we consider it a proper midos to sit shiva, since most people would sit shiva in that situation nowadays. If you're in a situation where it's socially expected to sit shiva, then you don't want to be an ingrate, and it's proper midos to sit shiva in that case. So lemaisa, nowadays, the minhag is when people have adopted parents, or when people are disguised with their kids, they sit shiva. When people's parents are goyim, they sometimes sit shiva depending on the nature of the relationship. You know, if their mom is Tinu Shinola and they have nothing to do with their family, etc., etc., you know, and they're like Avraham Avinu who left the idols, that's one thing. But sometimes the relationship is very different. And, you know, people sit shiva. So, lemaisa, the minhag is now that we consider it proper in some circumstances and permitted in all circumstances to sit shiva for people who are like relatives but technically not relatives. And to be mad, we'll fill Rabbi Kiva Eger and learn some Torah. What about the Berhetes problem of squeezing yourself in the other Avelus where you don't belong? So okay, you have to know the situation. If the situation is that you really don't belong with the other Avelim, then you shouldn't do this. You should, or go someplace else and do it. But in most cases, like the other Avelim feel like you belong. In which case, I wouldn't be machmer for the Ber Heitev, and that's the practice l'maisa nowadays. Bottom line, that's the practice l'maisa nowadays. Okay, there's a little more, but the hour's already late. So we'll continue Amir Tzah Hashem next time. What? Yes.
Yes.
What? You have to be there.
Is the recording over?
No.
You can turn off the recording. I'll explain that joke.